Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have a twofer, two recurring guests that we love, Doug Marrone and Ice Cube. We do get into it with Doug Marrone about Blake Bortles. We talk Jags. And then with Ice Cube, Big Three, and a little redemption for PFT and his rap the last time that Ice Cube was on.
I actually thought the first rap went pretty well.
I did too. But this one was even better. So Ice Cube is now, I think, best friends with us.
Yep.
We have a little tennis talk because there was a Wimbledon championship. We have a Who's Back and Mount Rushmore of animal traits we wish we had. Before we do all that, Pardon My Take is brought to you by the Cash App, the number one finance app in the App Store. Cash App is the most powerful way to send, spend, and save. It's connected to the free Cash Card, the only debit card with Boost. Just select a Boost in your Cash App, then instantly save at some of your favorite places like 10% at Chipotle or $1 off at all coffee shops. They're always adding new Boosts, so check yours often. Best of all, Boosts are like unlimited coupons, so you can use them over and over. Not ready to switch debit cards? You don't have to. Cash App lets you instantly transfer funds to your Cash Card for free. So when you see a Boost you like, you just add the funds, swipe, and save. Cash App is also the most convenient way to buy Bitcoin. Most Bitcoin exchanges require 5 days or more for bank transfers to become investable. With Cash App, they only take seconds. Download the Cash App from the App Store or Google Play Market today. And Cash App is bringing back a great initiative for our AWLs. If you download the Cash App and enter the referral code Barstool, you'll receive $5 and they will donate and send $5 to one of our favorite charities, the ASPCA. Do it for the animals. Be a lover. Download the Cash App today. Enter code Barstool. Get some money and save some animals. Okay, let's go.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Put in code Barstool. $5 to yourself, $5 to ASPCA. Today is Monday, July 15th, and we are 2.5 weeks away from the Hall of Fame game.
I love the Hall of Fame game, and I love betting on it because you really feel like you're back in the action, and then you realize that you have no idea how to handicap the game. We were looking at the schedule. We've got the Falcons and the Broncos.
And when we said it, we were like, what should we talk about to start the show? And we're like, okay, how about the Hall of Fame game in 2.5 weeks? Falcons-Broncos, we're like, we fucking hate the Hall of Fame game. And then immediately we started just completely natural, like, well, Drew Locke.
Yeah.
And maybe Matt Schaub.
Pretty good matchup.
So we're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so that's just a little reminder for you that football is very close to being back. Where should we start? Should we start tennis?
Let's start with Wimbledon.
Let's start with Wimbledon.
Or as my dad calls it, Wimbledon.
Wimbledon. Djokovic versus Federer. I'm a Djokovic guy. I became a Djokovic guy on Sunday morning.
Get joked.
If you want to life hack your way into enjoying a sport, just figure out what the GOAT debate is.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, obviously, I have no idea what goes on in tennis. I was corrected many times. There was even people who were like, yeah, Djokovic is the GOAT. He's got 16 Grand Slam titles, and he's 6 years younger than Federer. Someone replied and was like, well, he won a bunch of them when Rafa had his knee thing and Federer was going through his things. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what his things are.
No, he went through his stuff.
But you get in the GOAT debate and boom, you're locked in.
Yeah, I was actually rooting for Djokovic too, because
the more that
you can poke holes in Federer's resume, the more you can say Sampras is the GOAT.
Yeah.
And we need the GOAT to be an American.
He is the GOAT. Sampras is the GOAT for all-time best body hair.
Chest hair. Huge chest hair.
Plumes of chest hair. But yeah, Djokovic, Federer, It was great. I don't really know. I don't know tennis. I know that they have better replay than any other sport in the world, which doesn't make sense.
Well, they call it Hawkeye, which is just fucking badass.
It's
crazy. You feel like they're using a drone.
How do they have that, and then we can't get a goal line? Like, we don't know if someone crossed the plane.
Well, the parallax effect.
It's crazy.
That's the thing about tennis. They don't have the parallax effect to worry about. But, yeah, it was awesome. I love just the old Wimbledon tiebreaker format where it was just keep playing until one of you dies.
Forever.
This year they changed it up, and I was trying to figure out the scoring system. But it's like the fifth set, you play until it's 12-12. The person who invented tennis scoring in the first place was just like a crackhead with a brain injury.
15-30-40.
And then there's love.
Why?
So it's first to four in each game.
Right.
And then best to six, win by two in each set.
And they flip a coin
best to five. And then in the tiebreaker, it gets to 12. And then it goes to an old-fashioned tiebreaker, which I didn't even know what the fuck was happening.
First to seven, yeah.
I needed Woody Harrelson.
Like penalty
kicks. I needed them to put a microphone on Woody Harrelson, his drunk ass, in the stands today, and have him try to explain to me what the scoring system was.
It was so stupid. The scoring system's so stupid. I'm a tennis guy now. And when I say I'm a tennis guy, I mean, like, remind me that Wimbledon's happening next year because I'll probably watch one match again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big step for someone who before today – That was the longest I have sat on the couch and watched one tennis match. It was about 3 hours, and I found out I'm a Djokovic.
Would you go to the U.S. Open?
No, absolutely not. No,
absolutely
not.
I'm a tradition guy. I don't like the U.S. Open with their Mickey Mouse uniforms. They're all wearing like neon stuff. No thanks. I'm a Wimbledon guy.
We'll be caught dead at a U.S. Open.
The Lawn and Racquet Club, it's just pure class out there. They don't have, you know what they don't have in England? They don't have people dipping their fish and chips into Coca-Cola and then eating them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's
American
strawberries
stuff.
And cream.
Strawberries
baby.
And cream, breakfast at Wimbledon.
It's also Federer, like, I don't understand. Why does everyone love Federer? Someone explain that to me.
I'll tell you why.
Classy?
I'll tell you exactly why.
I hate this classy
dude. No, pure
Tom
class.
Brady of tennis.
Pure class.
You know, he's also got two sets of twins, which is... I don't know what's going on with that. I saw that, I was like, what's going on?
Excellent sperm.
Yeah.
His sperm have teamwork.
Boys and girls are all boys.
Boys and girls.
Two boys and two girls?
Yeah, because I saw it, and yeah. I was like, why are all those kids, the boys and the girls, are dressed alike? And I was like, that's fucking weird. Then I realized they were twins, because whoever was doing the post game had an all-time burn on him. Was like, you know, this was an unbelievable run for you. You're 20 grand slams, but now you get to be a dad. Mm-hmm. And he like turned over and was like, they're your four kids.
Yep.
Have fun, you know.
Go change diapers.
Yeah, go do some chores. You've been away from home for a while.
The thing about Federer that I think people like is he is better when he loses than he is when he wins. So when he loses,
so
he's really good at making jokes about, like, in that like one-on-one post-match interview. He's good at, like, kidding around and, like, making fun of himself. When he wins, he's just, like, kind of happy. He's like, oh, I guess I got another. I'm going to have to clear out space in my shed.
You could call me the GOAT if you didn't know Djokovic is fucking nasty. And Djokovic has it over him head-to-head. I know, their primes don't line up.
They don't.
Give me a break. Djokovic is the GOAT.
Listen, I'm a Rafa guy. If we're talking modern tennis.
You're talking clay?
If we're talking modern tennis, which I don't understand. I love watching tennis on grass. But why don't they let in the finals? They should let them use cleats.
I don't think that would work.
Why?
Because it's so fine. That,
your boy Joker was slipping and sliding all over the place.
Right, but that's part of the allure when they slide and then they can blame the ground.
Yeah,
like you have to be able to
green. Tear up your knees if you had cleats.
Yeah,
stuck
in there.
Then fuck yeah, I would watch tennis.
No, that grass is crazy.
There
man.
Were gruesome leg injuries.
So I guess tennis is like the big thing. And also, it was nice that it spilled all the way into like the afternoon because it was.
I was mad that it was over.
Oh, it was a lifesaver.
It was a hangover like cure.
It got all the way to the Cubs' first pitch. I was like, fuck yes! Now I don't have to worry about what the hell I'm going to do for these hours that are just wasted on Sunday mornings in July.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever wants to debate me, please come at me. Djokovic is 6 years younger. He's going to have the all-time Grand Slams when it's all said and done. Don't tell me about primes and all this bullshit. He's my GOAT.
The problem with Djokovic is he looks like an accountant. He looks like Nick Nurse's like daughter's boyfriend that she dumped for being too boring.
That went really deep.
Yeah. No, like really, this dude does not look like an athlete at all.
He's length, dude. He's got length.
He's got the length.
Big time length.
Yeah. He's from Serbia, right?
Yes.
Yeah, let Serbia have a goat. I don't feel like they have a goat.
Why not? And and also Joker is a cool nickname.
Joker's pretty cool.
I had to Google how to spell his name no less than like 700 times, even though it was spelled right in front of me on the thing. But I still, it's one of those names. It's like Krzyzewski, like Coach K. If you see it and look at it, you still are going to fuck it up.
Doesn't add up.
Yeah.
There should be like a club DJ that's just named DJ Djokovic.
Ooh, remember Kenny Mayne back in the day? Does Wayne Brady have to Jokovic?
Oh, that's pretty good.
That was a good line that
he had. That's a very good line. Yeah.
So you, I think you're in on the GOAT.
No, listen, I'm not a Joker fan. I was rooting for him today just so that he could bring Sampras back into the discussion.
Yes.
I like Rafa. I love him with the clay court master, the gallant master, Nadal. I like the back and forth because there were a couple Wimbledons that that Rafa beat Federer, right?
Correct.
Am I making that
2008,
up?
2008, dude, best match ever.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it, but
no, it was.
Told me
it's
about
commonly
that.
Regarded as the best match I've ever seen.
There's so many like weird tennis fans. They were very respectful. It wasn't like a UFC or if you're trying to talk hockey on Twitter, it was, hey, you're wrong, but we're not going to do it in a mean way.
If you ever want to go down a really weird rabbit hole, is you look up like tennis follies, because there are a bunch of tennis players that specialize in these like pro-am games where they're allegedly like very funny while they play and they make jokes. But the idea of a joke to a tennis player doesn't really line up with what everyone else thinks a joke is.
Right.
So they'll like hit the ball in bounds and then they'll like tell the umpire, no, I hit that out of bounds.
Right.
And then the crowd will like clap and laugh and then they'll take a bow.
Good
like,
job.
Fucking nailed it.
Good job. So we had that. Serena lost, which I guess, is she still the GOAT? She's still the GOAT.
I feel like Serena is once and always GOAT. And I'm just saying this because I am not prepared to deal with any blowback from talking shit about Serena. She scares me more than the Bay Hive.
Or the Jilly Beans.
Or the Jilly Beans. Or the Swift Boats. Is that what they call Taylor
Swift
fans?
Boats. Yeah, the John Kerry Swift Boats.
The Swift Boats veterans.
And what's her name, Ariana Grande, doesn't she have a big hive? No?
The Grandstand?
The Grandies? No? Okay.
No, probably not.
All right, then fuck her. That was good.
The Sweeteners or something.
Yeah, the Sweeteners. We also had on Friday the Takeys. If you didn't listen, the Takeys were electric, and I'm still buzzing off Blake of the Year. But we had the Russ Westbrook-Chris Paul trade that happened after we taped the Takeys. Mm-hmm. So now that we've had a few days to sleep on it, any change? I actually think both teams won.
Have you heard from Blake?
I'm doing one of those. What about it?
Have you heard from him?
About CP3? That's just that's more of like a silent, like, haha.
I feel like he doesn't
Chris
concern,
Paul. Yeah, keeps
Blakes don't concern themselves with the opinions of Paul.
Maybe we'll have him on this Blake week. Bortles.
Oh, Blake Bortles. Oh, yes, he was heartbroken. So he was heartbroken. He fucked up. I mean, he was the people's Blake for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's no longer
the
case.
No, I feel like you're once and future people's Blake. Like, I'm not ready to write Blake Bortles off just yet.
No, he's got to earn it.
He's been counted out before. I think he'll be just fine come next year.
This is probably worse than when he got cut by the Jags, if I'm being totally honest, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's up there.
It's a good setup for the interview, too.
It is.
Yeah, minor setback, major comeback.
Yeah, we do talk to Doug Marrone about it. But, yeah, so the Chris Paul-Russ Westbrook trade, I actually think both teams won. Not won a championship, but I think both teams got something. Like, the Rockets finally have good chemistry again, and the Thunder – I don't even know if they'll keep Chris Paul. If they do, I actually think they'll make the playoffs. They're not going to win anything.
Yeah, I think both teams lost. I'm not prepared to crown a victor until this is one of those trades where we really do have to wait for like 5 years to figure out what the Oklahoma City, their GM did, was just hit the big time reset button.
They're
job for life.
There's like a seventh grader right now that will be on the Thunder.
Yeah.
You have a pick. Yeah, they have like six picks in 2026.
Yeah.
Total future Sam Presti move. Just the best way to keep your job is trade all your assets for future assets, and then no one can fire you.
I'm interested to see, though, how Westbrook fits in with Harden, because I don't know if those two players can play together.
I say it as a joke because they
obviously played in together. Oklahoma City, but since...
But Chris Paul and James Harden couldn't really play together
right,
either.
But since they've gone their separate ways... They've become like even more of what they were when they were in OKC. So now, like, watching them have to fight over the ball, they might actually score points at the same. They might dunk together, both four hands on the ball, jamming it in.
They should just play shifts, like hockey shifts. Just like each of them plays 20 minutes, and then the end they can close together.
I feel like Westbrook is going to get real sick and tired of James Harden doing the little like shoulder lean into people, because they're like opposite players when it comes to contact. Westbrook loves to just run in people and dunk. Harden likes to just like bump somebody with their shoulder and then fall down on the ground.
I think it's gonna work just because. Well, and again, I'm not saying they're gonna win a championship because they're not. But I think it's gonna work just because Russ Westbrook, like Kevin Durant left, Paul George left. You then ask for a trade. Like, you don't have much more. You know what I mean? We tried the. You're the head of the team. You're getting traded to James Harden's team, so you have to take a back seat. I don't know. We'll see.
This sucks for D'Antoni though. Like trying to have to figure out how to. use these two guys at the same time. That he's going to earn his money next year.
But using anyone with James Harden is hard.
He needs to grow the mustache back. That thing commands respect.
All right, what else? We got anything else that's cooking around? I mean, it's a bleak time in sports.
Yeah, I actually have one thing I forgot to talk to you about before when we were putting the rundown of the show together, but I think it's important that we discuss it.
Okay.
Jacoby Brissett has been on a heater on Twitter recently. He's been asking the existential questions that we don't know the answers to, such as, if the sun is hot, how come outer space is cold? He's tweeting out all these woes. He came up with one, like, do you wash your cups after you drink water out of them?
Yeah.
I don't.
So is he doing, because this is actually a very fast way to, like, become part of, like, viral Twitter, is to just ask a bunch of random questions and be, like, genuinely curious. And I'm sure he's got a lot of Twitter followers from it. So do you think he's just doing this, or do you think someone's like, hey, Jacoby, let's get your brand out there. Let's just ask questions that, like, a bunch of people that are super high scrolling Twitter will be confused about.
Honestly, I think he just bought, like, a giant-sized thing of popsicles from Costco, and they all have riddles on them.
Yes.
And so every time he eats one, he just tweets that out.
We should actually do that. Just start tweeting, like, Snapple bottle caps.
We're just asking questions.
Yeah, we're just throwing out facts.
Jacoby Brissett is what I'm calling him
facts.
Now.
Facts. All right, should we do who's back, and then we'll get to our interviews? And then we'll have our Mount Rushmore on the other side. Hank, who's back?
My who's back of the week, I have a few. My first one is aliens.
Yes.
Yep.
400,000 people have signed a petition to storm Area 51. Just got the internet buzzing. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's excited to see what's there, see what's going on. I feel like the power outage, that had something to do with aliens.
Mm. Yeah, just like a gut feeling.
Yeah.
Do you think that this...
I mean, what else would it have been?
So
Transformer. They're not aliens. They're robots in disguise.
It's too hot. Global warming. Do you think that this is a way for the aliens to round up all the people that think they're aliens and then kill them all? Or do you think it's the government being like, let's get rid of all the crazies on Facebook? This is a setup.
It honestly sounds like the plot from Independence Day when they're driving into the desert and then Will Smith is like, hey, I got one of the aliens, let us in.
Right.
And then they let Randy Quaid in the whole convoy of RVs. They should just have somebody. They should have Sam Cassell under a tarp in the backseat of a pickup truck and be like,
doing the big ball dance.
Yeah. Let us in.
This is a setup, though, don't you think? So the question is, the setup that the government is trying to get rid of all the people that are like crazy and do theories online, or is the setup that the aliens have set this up and they're trying to eliminate everyone who believes in aliens?
So you're thinking that it's like the government started this petition to round up all the believers.
Yes.
Under the guise of, we're going to storm Area 51.
Right.
Yeah, it's like when Alabama arrests people every year at the Auburn-Bama game.
Yes.
They do the Iron Bowl.
They do stings for free tickets to the Iron Bowl, and then they're like, hey, you haven't paid child support.
That's exactly what this is.
This is what that is.
So I think it's the aliens.
Aliens are setting it up to get rid of the people that believe in them. So, like, the aliens are sitting out there and say, hey, the block has gotten a little too hot. There's too many people out there who think we exist. Let's get them all here and then blow them all up.
Yes. So instead of just like shooting Earth with a death ray, they're like, hey, we'll just start a change.org petition and a Facebook meetup, and that'll take care of it.
Correct. So something bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go. We should send someone. We should actually send someone and videotape it for Barstool Gold. Well, Barstoolgold.com/PMT. Go sign up right now.
So the U.S. Air Force said, the U.S.
That
Air Force
flawless.
Always stands ready to protect America and its assets. So sending out a warning, like, if you're going to really storm the gates, what if this
That means there's assets.
They admitted there was an asset there. Good point, Hank. This is like, what if this is the new, like, Burning Man or Coachella?
Yeah.
Just Area 51 part. What if it's just, like, a huge rager?
It's going to be, like, 98% dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But probably, like...
It's going to be Purdue.
Probably less than 1,000 people show up.
Well, and the other thought, it could be that the U.S., that's, like, the fake alien place. Because we don't know about the real alien place. Like, if everyone knows Area 51, there's no chance there's real aliens there.
They would have moved them. Yeah.
Is somewhere else. Just Jacoby Brissett it, okay? Stay woke. Anything else?
Oh, The Undertaker's also back.
Yes.
Okay. He fought tonight.
Yes.
Verbal meme. Undertaker gif.
Verbal meme coming out of the casket.
Live look at The Undertaker.
Verbal meme, hand coming through the ground. Mm-hmm.
Did he win?
I don't know.
Sure.
He definitely won.
He doesn't come
His
back
name
to
is
lose.
The Undertaker.
Except for the one time that Hank and I went and saw. We broke the streak.
Life's too short to take the under.
And the sad woman who was sitting in the New Orleans airport the next day with the
light up sign.
The streak is alive.
God, how
30 whatever it was, like 28-0, and he had lost the night before.
Speaking of Undertaker gifts, how bad are you guys cheated that you weren't the guy? Like, you know, the guy that whose eyes got super wide when he lost? Like, you were at that. You could have been that guy.
We were too far back, but that I did have a pretty similar, like, it wasn't the eyes, but I had a pretty similar shock when I saw that happen. But yeah, we should get in touch with that guy. I wonder, he's probably, I feel like he came along a little bit too early. Like if that happened today, he would have had a sponsorship party.
Oh, we would have known bad things that he's done. He would have gotten milkshake duck real quick.
Right.
What's the difference? So Bagel Boss guy is like the opposite of the whole milkshake duck theory, where the internet falls in love with some guy that they saw on TV at the Oscars that they brought in off the street. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, he's been convicted of sexual assault before.
Right.
Like with the Bagel Boss guy, you are immediately famous for being the world's biggest dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do they go back in your past and found out a time that you donated to charity?
Just reconfirm it. Yeah. Like, you are a dickhead. Yeah. If they go back and like, hey, this guy has been helping communities for a really long time.
That would actually break my heart if the Bagel Boss guy was like a philanthropist.
Yeah. He actually goes to Bagel Boss every day to see if they have any leftover bagels for like a homeless bank.
Homeless people. Yeah. I'm pretty confident that that's not the case.
No, that's definitely not the case. Definitely not the case. All right, PFT, what do you got?
My who's back of the week is Grayson Allen.
Ooh.
Grayson Allen's back committing
Summer League?
Committing flagrant fouls at a rate unprecedented to players not named Grayson Allen. So this is one of those circumstances where it's great to see a player fall back into the old stereotype that you had on him. I just always say he plays hard. He plays Duke basketball. Sometimes he's just clumsy.
Mm-hmm. His feet, it's hard to keep your feet underneath you, like we learned with Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. Core strength is important. If you don't do enough push-ups, you'll probably just kick a bunch of people in the nuts.
Well, he was hitting
sit-ups.
He was hitting people in the head.
Yeah,
so
okay.
He's got bad labrums. He's got poor shoulder control.
Right.
So he's knocking people in the head left and right. I think he fouled out in record time, coming after my old rec league record that we always talk about here. That everyone knows about that.
Yeah.
Good to see Grayson Allen back. I'm waiting for Coach K to come out and defend him and be like, he's a good kid. He's just a good kid.
No, Jay Williams will.
Yeah, definitely.
Jay Williams will definitely come out and say something.
My other who's back of the week is Tony Romo.
Okay.
Tony Romo's back. He won the American Century Golf Tournament.
He
scored 71 points.
The Pro-Am or whatever.
Yeah, it's the Stableford scoring system, which nobody really knows how that works.
It's worse than tennis.
Almost worse than tennis. He won. This is back-to-back for Tony.
And Charles Barkley?
He's just, I don't know how. Charles Barkley probably did not finish.
They always have odds for him, and they're so funny. It's like a million to one.
I kind of want to
for him to win.
They should let Charles Barkley cheat. If Charles Barkley was allowed to
cheat, I still don't think he'd win.
He still couldn't win.
Yeah, no chance. No chance.
He shot a 71, or he scored 71 points, just really doing everything he can to impress Jim Nantz.
Did you see that video of Steph Curry not being able to dunk 3 times in a row at this Pro-Am?
Can't relate.
Tough look.
Can't relate.
Tough look. All right, my who's back is Instagram in general, because I feel like summer is all about the gram, and scrolling through, it's all about the gram. Everyone's on Instagram showing how sick their summer is and how awesome summer is a movie, when in reality, like, they're probably just at the same shitty lake that everyone else is at,
mm-hmm.
and they took one awesome Instagram picture.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. Anyone can look good in a swimsuit with the right filter.
Yes.
What's your guys' Instagram handles?
My IG is HenryLockwood1.
Henny's1?
Henry Lockwood. I'm always tagging Hank.
Mine's also Henry Lockwood one.
Damn,
it's so crazy. It's
strong.
Come check out our collective Instagram. We're like the McCourty twins.
Yes, we share.
We just all share Hank's Instagram.
All right, my other who's back is Amari Stoudemire, who is trying to make a comeback. He should not make a comeback because we're still on Sam Decker watch. We need Sam Decker to sign first. But he's also challenging people to fights on Instagram,
good,
which is also back. He some guy said something about how it's the Lay Knicks is the Instagram handle, and basically said that he's, you know, got weak ass knees and washed up and all this stuff, and he was brainwashed because he said he loved playing for the Knicks, and it's like, of course you did, dude. You got paid $100 million to suck. So he slid into the DMs and literally was like, where are you right now? I'll come and meet you. And the guy's like, I live in Seattle. And Amari said, keep my name out of your mouth if you can't say it in person. And he replied, I will say whatever I post in person. I stand by, and I don't think it's unfair criticism. And Amari said, I'll see you soon. You're in Seattle. I'll be there soon. And they basically set up a meetup point where he's going to go beat this guy. And, like, he's going to beat him up because he said something mean about him.
These fights should always take place in Temecula.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of it happening outside that jurisdiction. If I were that dude, I would absolutely let Amari Stoudemire fight me.
Yes.
Like the lawsuit that would come after
Hell
that?
Hell yes. If he flies to Seattle, it ended with him saying, I live in Seattle, I can meet you at the Space Needle. And Amari Stoudemire just said, say no more.
Let's do it, like, right underneath
the
Space
Needle. He just
got
on a flight. Yeah, he just got on a fucking six-hour flight to go fight him at the Space Needle.
That would be amazing.
It would.
Yes. Make it Amari.
Rough and rowdy.
Yeah. Yeah, just set up an impromptu ring right outside the Space Needle.
Either way, Amari Stoudemire, he's back. He's trying.
Is he still big into those wine baths?
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, hanging out in a bunch of wine?
Which, like, basically coincided with his knees falling apart, which, like, he was like, yeah, it's great. I just bathe in wine and it helps my body.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just was never good again.
It just took out his ACL.
Peak Amari Stoudemire was awesome.
Him and Steve Nash together.
Dude, don't let him get
Sean
in the lane.
Sean Marion, the Matrix.
Little pick and roll.
Dude, what about Joe Watch?
Oh, yeah. Joakim Noah is also maybe coming to the Breakers. We're going to try. Probably not. I think we might have just thrown that out there.
That's what it looked like. The Stein reports.
It was a little bit of a...
Like, he's gotten a lot of NBA interest. A lot of people are probably going to try and add him, but maybe.
Yeah. Who knows?
Wait, what's this about him coming to the Breakers?
Mark Stein.
Literally, it was just made up on Saturday.
It was a Mark Stein
Mark Stein
tweet,
report
though.
Said that he's in discussion.
With the Breakers?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah,
as
you knew
an owner
that.
Of the,
you
of
totally
the Breakers,
knew that.
I knew
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Totally, so, yeah, maybe we'll have him. I don't know. I've extended my offer on Saturday. I said, hey, Joe, I'm a player's owner. We literally, as PFT is showing right now, we're player's owners. We'll stay completely out of your business to the point we don't even know that you might sign with us.
I'm hands off to the point of being incompetent.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, absolutely. You know, it would be great to have a player on the team that has worse facial hair than I do, too. That would be a huge come up
Whoa,
for your boy.
I don't know about that.
It's pretty bad.
Eh, it's not that bad.
It looks like a goat's ass.
But it's not that bad.
It's pretty bad.
All right, let's do Doug Marrone. Coach of the Jaguars, we talk a little Blake Bortles, we talk about bologna. We had Jilly Football cooking us fried bologna sandwiches. Also, Doug Marrone showed up with basically an entire deli.
He brought, an entire bodega from the Bronx. It was like a pepperoni roll, three bologna sandwiches, some dried sausage, which was delightful.
So much sandwiches and meat and everything. Mm-hmm. All right, before we do that,
and some beers that Hank got drunk off of during the takeies.
Yes, exactly. Before we do that. New Alcohol. Amsterdam Vodka. That's what we should be drinking. New Amsterdam Vodka believes that when you have an uncompromising passion and a competitive spirit, you can achieve great things. This spirit has been inspired New Amsterdam to produce a vodka of superb taste and unparalleled smoothness. New Amsterdam distills its vodka five times using only the finest quality grains from America's heartland, resulting in a premium vodka with unparalleled smoothness that is then filtered three times for a clean, crisp finish. I'm actually going to become a martini guy. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to use New Amsterdam vodka because New Amsterdam is slightly sweet on the palate, smooth enough to drink on the rocks, mixed with juice and soda, or make a classic New Amsterdam mule. New Amsterdam vodka is the official vodka of Barstool Sports and the official vodka of me trying to become a martini guy. We're also brought to you by our friends at Bird Dogs. We're all wearing Bird Dogs right now, right?
Rocking mine right this very second.
All rocking Bird Dogs right this second, and we love Bird Dogs. Do you know what the script says, PFT?
It says don't go on a script.
This is one, go off, King. So I'll go off. I would say about 10 pairs of Bird Dogs. Every single morning I wake up, it's like Inspector Gadget. I just go into my closet, Bird Dogs, and just scroll right through.
You're thinking of Clueless.
No, Inspector Gadget. He has the same trench coat.
Okay.
Yeah, when he goes in. I don't have the rotary thing.
You don't have
Hey Arnold,
motor.
Too.
You don't
yeah,
have the,
Hey Arnold as
the
well.
Software where
no,
you
No, I'm talking about just
tell
Bird
you if it's
Dogs.
A match or not.
Bird Dogs left and right, and they're the most comfortable shorts that you can ever wear. Great fabric. Feels like I can get wet with them. They have the underwear built in. And here is my number one selling point for Bird Dogs that you need to listen to right now. They have pockets with zippers. Do you know how important that is?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how important that is when you want to like keep your keys when you're like drinking or something? You're like, well, I better not lose this. Boom. Zipper pockets. They have pockets without zippers too. So it's a little bit of both. Both sides, pockets and pockets with zippers. So it's great. Bird Dogs, best shorts in the game, best shorts for summer. Go to birddogs.com, enter promo code TAKE, and they'll throw in a pair of nunchucks. Yes, a real pair of nunchucks. Mm-hmm. That's birddogs.com, promo code TAKE, and boom, a free pair of nunchucks with your pair of bird dogs, and you get zippers.
When I was in Europe, I don't know, did I mention that I was there?
You did a few times.
So in Amsterdam, good place to keep a little hot leaf
also,
in those zipper pockets.
By the way, credit to you. You were quick to realize that you had mentioned the Europe trip like two or three times, uh-huh. So then jump on the...
Oh, I'm a big Europe guy now.
I'm making the joke that I was... Because you did the first two times, you didn't realize.
No, I knew.
The third time, you knew... Oh, shit, I've mentioned this like three times. I better get in front of this.
When I was over there, I was like, I'm going to come back and be that guy that's like, I went to museums.
Yes.
I experienced some culture. It's actually very nice over mm-hmm. there.
And you wore your bird dogs.
You lazy Americans wouldn't understand.
And you wore your bird dogs. So free nunchucks, promo code TAKE, and free zippers. I just added that to the deal. Free zippers, if you put in promo code TAKE, birddogs.com. Okay, here he is, Jaguars coach Doug Marrone. Okay, we now welcome on our good friend, recurring guest. It is the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Doug Marrone. He just walked in with, I'd say, about a dozen sandwiches the Bronx.
From the Bronx.
Pepperoni bread, bologna sandwiches.
Hot and mild sausage.
You're going to a Billy mm-hmm. Joel concert. What's better than that? A New York night.
I said, I'm here today on Barstool. Tonight, Billy Joel. Tomorrow, the Yankees. And I'm in a big-time New York state of mind.
Right? Yeah,
that's a whirlwind tour right there.
Yeah, it's a whirlwind New York state tour.
Yes.
We're also frying up bologna. Jill's over there, man in the grill.
So if you can smell it while you're watching it and listening to it.
And I'm actually gaining weight right now as I'm sitting here. And the other thing, too, what's funny is when I eat the fried bologna and I start to sweat later on tonight, I'll actually start smelling it again.
Yeah.
Like big guys like myself. That's what,
like, I want some more of it. It just triggers you to get more. Yeah,
I can get a little bit. I get a little taste. If I can start licking that. Yeah, uh-huh. Salt and with the bologna, it feels great.
So we're going to get to football, but let's talk about the Yankees first, because your beloved New York Yankees are awesome. Even though they were injured all first half of the season, they've been awesome. Are you feeling 28? Are you starting to get your hopes up that this is kind of a complete team?
It's interesting because I was tomorrow I'm hoping to go there and see Coach Boone and talk to him a little bit about, last year we went through a ton of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was listening to... for us as coaches, we kind of do a lot of background and see what's going on. So they've had a lot of injuries, but I've been listening to a lot of these young players or people that they've acquired. And in all these interviews, I keep hearing the same thing is that, hey, when you're part of the Yankees, you're part about winning championships. And that's what's expected and the culture and things of that nature. So, I'm hoping that we can go into this year, not having injuries, but being better prepared so I can do a better job, when injuries hit. Because, a lot of people wrote them off. And, I'm sure that you use that a little bit, as far as motivation. But you still got to produce and perform and beat, good teams that are out there. And, they've been able to do that. So. I know from a coaching perspective, I admire what they've done. The same with the women's soccer team. They played in an exhibition game in Jacksonville, and I had met with that coach. So she was down there and then went and watched them play the exhibition game, and it was unbelievable to see them in person. I don't think TV really does any credit, And then, I saw what they're doing down here in New York and having the parade and stuff. So it's been you're always trying to learn. There's really no off season.
Would you talk to every level of coach?
I
have a Madden franchise. Would you talk to me? Would you ask me how I deal with injuries and stuff? I turn injuries off, but yeah.
Do you really? That's what I'm saying. Hell exactly. Yeah. But I do think that's an important thing. I think that, just because you have something on your shirt that may say NFL or MLB or NBA, it doesn't mean that there aren't good coaches at all the other levels. I think you can learn so much from, especially like, I always appreciate going and watching youth coaches because mm-hmm. they got to talk to these players and teach these players, and the words that they use and how they teach them and all the different things are things that, I hope to learn from, that I can do a better job. I don't think it's the emblem or the team or the league that you're in that makes the coach. It's really how you present things and what you do.
My high school coach used to just say, next man up. That was his strategy. So if we had an injury, he'd just get in the locker room and go, hey, we're going next man up today. We weren't very good.
Did you have a lot of players? Did you ever run out of players?
We never ran out of players, but we ran out of good players. Like when I started playing, that's when it became an issue. I was not the next man up that should have been the next man up.
And I think that's something, we have to adjust that, next player obviously might have enough talent, but you have to, I think what makes people good coaches is that they're able to maybe cover up maybe some of the things. So, I'm sure they probably had to do a lot of covering up when you went.
They just used me as a scout team fullback, and they said run straight ahead and get your ass kicked.
You were fullback?
Scout team.
So basically, how many, more important
than the starting.
So you were probably start off at like 6'3" and became a fullback, and then now you're down.
My spine got compressed.
Spine got compressed.
That's what it was. I'm going to start saying that I'm 6'3". I want to get into something real quick here because we had Sean McVay on the show like 3 months ago, I think, out in Grit Week, and he said that he had some words with you. He said that he wanted to coach for you at Syracuse. And that you took his resume, you put it at the bottom of the pile. And he said, no,
yeah, we had this whole discussion at the head coach's the league meeting.
Yep.
So we have this meeting. So there's a bunch of us now around the table, and you know we're talking. He's like, yeah, you wouldn't even hire me. I'm like, well, let me ask you a question. Who recommended you? So he says, well, this coach recommended me. I say, that's absolutely why I didn't hire you. So and everyone at the table agreed with me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a coach there who recommended him that coach that. Was coached with me at Syracuse, and I wound up, you know, having to make a move. But he's the one that recommended him. And I think if any other coach would have recommended, you know, Sean,
yeah.
I think he would have had a chance. I said, that's why you got to be careful. And anyone out there was thinking, make sure you know, who's recommending you for the jobs. And I said, I was always brought up to that if I wanted a job, I would never have anyone else call for me. I would always call myself. Mm-hmm. So I would call myself and say, hey, listen, I'm so-and-so. This is what I want to do. I'm looking for a job. And then if there was interest, then I'd give them references.
Right.
You know, I think – so I was like, Sean, you got to be more – you know, you got to get going when you were younger. But now he is. Mm-hmm. So he's great. But he's done a great job, and I don't hold against him. But, you know, he busts my chops.
Yeah, yeah. I've always wondered, like, those types of coach meetings, I just assume that it's – everybody in a room together just busting each other's balls, just making fun of each other.
When I'm around, that's how I am.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know – you know, myself and, you know, Bill O'Brien and Rabel, even though we're in the same division,
yep.
You know, we'll sit around and we'll bust each other's chops pretty good. And then, but it never gets to, you know, we never talk about our players or the teams. We just talk about, like, you know, I'll look at someone else, I'll be like, you know, oh my God, look at that bathing suit. God, I can't. You know, Sean's a great dresser, right?
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you're probably the best. You're the best you're going to see right now.
People say that the NFC West is the hottest division in terms of coaches. I think it's actually your division. You got Vrabel, you got O'Brien.
Vrabel represents us because, you know, he's lifting still and working out and working with the players.
Did you see his quote today? Mike Vrabel's quote today?
What did he say?
He said he would cut his penis off for a Super Bowl. Straight up said that.
Well, let me ask you,
you're dumbfounded. He actually said that. He said he's been married for 20 years, so he doesn't need that.
Would you cut Mike Vrabel?
I was thinking the same thing. I swear, when he first said it, I'm thinking, all right, I have three children I love. My wife would probably be happy if I did that.
He's one of my pinky bet. That's
what I'm saying. My wife would be like, cut that shit off. Yeah.
We got a Super Bowl.
I mean, you can just say that you would cut Mike Vrabel's penis off for a Super Bowl.
No, I'm not going there.
All right, so I have a question. This is going to be a very weird question, but you mentioned the coaches meeting. I am obsessed with the coach's picture that you guys take annually.
Excuse me, guys.
Here we go. Julie's got the fried bologna.
I like
fried bologna. Yep, fried bologna. Here you go.
I love it.
Walk me through the coach's picture when you guys all get out there and they face you into the sun and everyone looks a little disheveled. Some guys looking good. Some guys not looking so good. How does that all go down? And do you guys realize how ridiculous it is every year?
Yeah, I don't like. When you're a rookie. Head coach, you know, you go in there and you have an itinerary and they're like, okay, you have this picture. And you're like, my first thought was, why are we taking this picture?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then it was
for
like,
me to blog it, pretty much.
First of all, I didn't know it even would go out to anyone. I had no idea that.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, my first thing, I'm like, well, you know, and then they send me a picture and I'm like, well, I got a picture of all these. What's this for? To prove that, you know, that I coach in the NFL. And,
yes.
You know, then it was like, you know, well, shit, if I get my picture taken, who am I going to sit next to?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so it is a little, you know, and then it's like, so basically whoever you're walking with
from the meeting, this year.
You know what I'm saying, to that is important. But also, then what happens, I start thinking, well, shit, if I'm in the back and I'm next to, like, I think I was next to Coach Harbaugh, and I'm like, damn, you know, he looks good.
He does.
I mean, he's in good shape,
guy.
You know, I'm like. You know, then you start thinking, okay, wait, I got to put a striped shirt on.
Oh, no, this year, yeah, okay.
You know, I got to put a striped shirt on. I got to do whatever I can to make myself look skinnier. I got to do whatever I can to make sure I'm not like Richard Nixon and sweating my ass off, you know, and I got pits showing and everything. So then I'm like, if I sit down, I think I can cover my gut better. So strategically, I go in there But when I break that meeting and I'm on my way over there, then I start thinking, okay, I got to get this thing right. But then you're right. You stand in front of, you know, you're standing in the sun and you hit it. But I never thought it went out. So, and then afterwards, like my assistant will come in and go, oh, here's your head coaching picture. And I'll be like, oh, okay, that's great. I'm going to file it right over there.
Yes. Yeah, so this is you. That's your
I was
pitcher.
On the end. You know the end?
The end.
More leg room.
That's all right, smart. So this is what I wrote about you. The everyone's dad on graduation day award goes to Doug Marrone. He's hot, he's sweaty, he forgot his sunglasses, so he's constantly squinting, and his handshake will break his daughter's boyfriend's forearm. That's Doug Marrone. These are the nicest clothes he owns, and while he's happy to be here to see his little sweetheart on graduation day, he really just wants to be back home in his recliner with a bag of Lay's and some homemade onion dip. Do you think I nailed that?
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, Doug definitely showed up 45 minutes early so he could get a good seat, a.k.a. the one on the end where he has the most space. There it is.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
There it is.
I put a lot into it.
Yes.
I do.
Yes. I love that.
Everything says right.
I love that picture.
My daughter is now going to be a senior. My other daughter is going to be a freshman.
And have you shook her boyfriend's hands?
There was one guy, you know.
Okay.
So the first guy. Yep. And my friend John was here. He taught me a lot, too, because his daughter's older and she's graduated now from college. So I'm like, hey, how do you handle this stuff? Because, you know, it's just hard because, you know, I want to make sure he understands, you know, that this is my daughter. And, mm-hmm. this, you know, and then so I didn't know what to say. So I just told him, I said, look, if you mistreat my daughter, I promise you, I will do everything in my power to ruin your life.
That's good.
You know, because I was trying to watch my words because I didn't want, you know,
that's fair.
You're the head coach. You know, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
And it's plus my size. So I always try to make sure I'm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like, and I don't smile, which I don't normally do anyway, but I don't smile and I don't really talk to them. And then when they try to strike conversation, I look at them like they're.
Why are you talking to
them? Yeah, don't you ever.
Everything
talk
you
to
said, me. We already knew.
You treat them
nothing
like
nothing you just said.
Yeah,
is
but I think all of us that are dads are like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And
as a dad myself now.
Oh, man, I'll
tell
you.
Just going to say, dad to dad, I see what you're saying.
Yep.
Just wanted to say that.
We need to get this out in the open before this conversation gets a little bit too deep.
Ooh. You guys, I'll tell you this. You know why you guys are good?
Because we kind of lose.
We feed you baloney.
Hey, Doug, how do you think
ball.
The Yankees are doing? Yeah.
Everything's
how about
going
those
on. No. And then all of a sudden it's like,
it's about to get real.
Here comes the trap.
Listen,
here comes the trap.
You ever hear about gotcha journalism? Yeah. This is gotcha journalism.
Mm.
We're best friends with Blake Bortles.
Mm. Yeah, I love Blake.
Okay, good start.
Do you?
Good start.
I was just with him at a wedding.
Okay, you guys bury the hatchet. You guys on good terms? Because anybody that mistreats Blake, we take that as a mistreatment of ourselves. But then you should feel good about that, knowing that we're good friends with you. So if anybody
testament
you,
to us as mature adults,
yes, as mature adults,
to not pick sides,
yes, we're loyal. But I just want to make sure that things are okay
gifts.
Between.
Yeah,
you
did. You buttered us up,
right? I broke gifts, but yeah, I mean. You know, it's always tough, and you're pulling for someone, especially someone like Blake. You know, his toughness it's the greatest trait he has. It really is. And, you know, I probably could have done a better job, and I've told that to Blake. So we had good discussions. We had a discussion when he left, and I saw him the other day. And it's, you know, I have a ton of respect for him. Just it's the business aspect of it, which is tough. I wish him the best. I think that, you know, he'll do well. I really do. I think he'll play in this league for a long time. I think he'll get another opportunity. I think he'll take advantage of it. That's how I feel. And it's not like with a lot of these players, when those things happen, the business part of it, it always hurts that I always look back and say, I wish I could have done something better, or I wish I could have had better players around him, or I wish I could have done this, or, you know, called this or did that. The only time that you really sit there and you're like, hey, listen, I'm glad that this guy's gone, is when the guy's a bad guy and a bad teammate, where he's not a team guy. The rest of them, whether they're good enough or not, that's what hurts. Guys that give you everything they have, they give you great effort, they show toughness, and, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, you're trying to change, you're trying to do a lot to get different results, and, you know, it's part of it, because it just goes, it's like anything else. If you know, if you don't win, then, you know, who's next? Well, you know, I'm next, you know, so I'll be the guy to go. And that's how it is. So it's the reality of the profession, but I try to take the, you know, is it personal? Yeah, it gets personal because, you know, you're dealing with families and things of that nature. And that's what's, that's what's difficult. That's what, you know, you take a step back and you're like, my responsibility towards the organization, you know, my responsibility for the people I've hired, my responsibility as a coach. And, you know, that's the stuff at the end of the day that people don't see, you know, that weighs on. I can't speak for everyone, but, you know, for me, that weighs on me a lot.
So Blake told us that he is friends with Cody Kessler. So we respect his wishes to not bash Cody Kessler. But this would be the portion of the podcast that I would say, Coach, how the hell did you start Cody Kessler over Blake Bortles? But I'm not going to say that. So I'm not going to say that. I just wanted to say that I'm not going to say that. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
Thanks for not saying
that. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you just touched on something.
But it's the same. It's the same thing. It's like, you know, it's like you'll see, you know, the quarterback gets – I always said the same thing, and we've heard it. It's a cliche. You know, they get too much of the credit and they get too much of the blame. And a lot of times when – you know, you're looking to shake things up, you're looking to do things, you know, that's the position mm-hmm. that comes to it. And, you know, when you're looking to shake a team up and you're looking to do things, sometimes it's the head coach.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wanted to ask you about that.
Because... So, I mean, it could be me. And it's not like, hey, it's him before me. It's not, you know, you're literally trying to do things to see, you know, to get a spark, to get the people around to play better or whatever we want to say around them to have to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it also puts a lot of other people on warning saying, hey, listen, if you don't respond, if we can do this to this guy who's a great guy, who's tough as shit, you know, that's won football games for us in the past, you know, but if we're going to do that to him, we can do it to everybody else, mm-hmm. you know, and then obviously it exposes me.
Yeah, so you mentioned that, and I'm always curious about this because in, like, the football media world,
mm-hmm.
we love to do the, like, who's on the hot seat going into the season before we even play a game. Do you see that stuff? Do you – I mean, you're not – you're
I don't,
aware of what's going on, but –
I've learned this along, like, so now this is whatever going into my 4 years at Syracuse, two in Buffalo, going into my third year here. So it's you learn as you go across. So, like, a lot of times early on, someone will say, "Oh yeah, hey, did you see that article? It's a good article about you." And when you're young, you're like, "Oh shit, who doesn't
awesome.
Like reading something good about?"
Of course.
So you look at it, and you're like, "Oh yeah," but then all of a sudden you scroll down. I always say, "Don't scroll down."
Yep.
You know, then you scroll down, and you're like, you know, that guy's an ass. That guy's a jerk.
Oh,
this
the
guy's
comment
a,
section.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, now you start getting pissed. And,
yeah.
But you now all of a sudden decisions start going on. So I learned a long time ago not, you know, to look at that. But I always tell people the same thing. Especially, this is the most volatile business you can be in, really, coaching. If you win, sometimes you can be safe. There are coaches that have won games that have been fired, coaches that have been to the playoffs that have been fired.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Marty. Mike Mularkey mm-hmm. in Tennessee, and Mike and I are good friends. I mean, you know. But I approach it this way. I'm fighting to keep my job every single day. So every time I go into work, I'm trying to prove that I'm worthy of a job. You know, and every time we're playing a game, I'm trying to prove that I'm worthy. And at the end of the day, I'm doing the best job I can. And if it's not good enough, then they're going to let me go and bring somebody else in. Mm-hmm. No hard feelings towards ownership, no hard feelings towards management. That's just the way it is. So, you know, I think when you accept those things and you go about your business, because the worst thing you can do is start worrying or mm-hmm. start making decisions or things are out of control or start responding to the media or you get upset. I mean, you know, if you start off and you're not doing well and someone's like, well, they should fire this guy. Yeah. If you don't expect someone to say that, then you're
right.
probably in the wrong profession.
Right.
You know, if you play shitty and someone's like, you know, this guy stinks. They can't play. He's a terrible coach. Of course they're going to say that. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's just the business. And that's the business that I always tell us that, you know, the coaches and everyone else that we've chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't live with that and you can't live in that type of world, then don't choose coaching.
Great
Stay
football
the hell out
guy
of
answer. Great football guy answer. That's why you're a football guy.
It is, exactly. When you drafted at number 11 this year, were you told to pick a player named Josh Allen?
Seven.
Oh, yeah,
seven.
Don't screw me up like that.
Yeah,
so I was like, holy shit, does he know something that just happened?
Josh Allen last year and this
seven.
Year were seven.
Sevens, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to pick a player named Josh Allen at seven?
When you say, do you have to pick a player like Josh Allen?
Josh Allen
at seven.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback. Yeah.
Right.
I'll rephrase.
That stuff you guys know about. I don't look at that.
We care too much.
We do care about that stuff.
I was always like, hey, what, you know, did you guys think he was going to fall to you or whatever? Like,
yeah,
you guys
that
expected?
Was nice.
I'll ask that. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I think, you know, Coach Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, a GM, the scouts, you know, they do a good job. We come in late, and that's the one thing. Like, so we as coaches come in late in the evaluation period. Because you think, like, they've already started on next year's draft.
Yeah.
You know, and they're starting, and we're getting ready to play the season. And then, you know, you go through all these different scenarios. Like, okay, you go through whoever players you like, and if these guys drop, Would you take them? Yes, we take them. If not, we're doing this. So there's a lot of discussion, and I always say the same thing. Like I'll bust a little bit of chops when no one's, you know, when there's just a couple of scouts. I'd be like, yeah, hey, you know, we got a couple of days before we make this decision. You know, it's not like the 40-second clock where we got to make a decision every, you know, when that referee spots that ball and you got to go. Right. You know, and then the rounds come and it's like, ooh, man, we got what, an hour and a half before the, you know, that.
Right.
So, but I think it is, they do a good job. They work hard. They try to get all the scenarios. And, you know, a lot of times it's interesting how those, when you look at the boards, and I've been at, three different organizations. Yep. Three different organizations where, you know, it's amazing how they all come off that board and it's pretty much the same, you know, as far as how it's getting drafted and going. So, you know, I think obviously they do a good job, and I still think it's a tough, it's tough to pick someone and project them, you know what I'm saying, in the NFL. When I was a college coach, you know, we would do that, but it was kind of fun. We can move people. That's why I always, like, so when I was at Syracuse, we'd always say, hey, listen, I'll take as many running backs. I'll sign 5 or 6 running backs.
Right.
I can make, if they're small, I can make them receivers. If they're big, I can make them linebackers. You know what I'm saying? I can move these guys around. I can take, you know, big corners, make them safeties. Big safeties, make them linebackers. You know, big middle linebackers, make them down linemen, outside, you know, pass rushers, inside linemen, on and on and on. And, you know, you can do that and you can get great exposure. But at the NFL, the time is so short to do that, that when you take someone, you got to project what they're going to do for you right away. And that player still has to get out there and perform.
It's almost a detriment if you draft a guy who you don't fully know where he's going to fit in the NFL.
Yeah. And
you
I
know,
think,
when you're like, he's an in-betweener of two positions.
Like when you say, hey, listen, this guy's a great athlete. Let's find a spot for
him. Right, or he's a safety, but a cornerback, maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah.
And those guys usually get washed out.
Safety linebacker is the one that you see a lot, like Jabril Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can project him to be like a, they always say Troy Polamalu. But that, if you happen upon a Troy Polamalu in the draft, you take him every single time because he's obviously a legend of the game. But I've always wondered why those kind of undersized linebackers, big safeties, don't translate to the NFL.
Yeah, I think, like, so when I was coming out in the 80s, you know, and you always think of, you know, I think of, you know, what I used to watch on TV, like Mel Blunt, I mean, from Pittsburgh, and you watch the guys from Denver that played safety, Atwater, and those guys were big, big hitters and, you know, big-time players. And I think, you know, from a coverage standpoint, with the man-to-man, things have started to change. So, you know, from a coverage standpoint, the offenses have changed, so it's become more spread. It's almost, you know, it's become more three receiver sets, things of that nature. You have much more vertical routes going, and you still have to, you know, obviously you have enough guys in the box for a run game. So, you know, you're seeing now, like, you know, when I was in the AFC East and we're playing teams there, and I was in Buffalo, you know, it was important for us to make sure that all of our linebackers were, you know, we wanted to struggle with our decision of which guy are we taking off the field, a nickel. We wanted all our three linebackers to have man-to-man coverage ability. We wanted our safeties to have man-to-man coverage ability, you know, to match up against the teams we needed to in the AFC East to win. So, you know, we took a guy like Aaron Williams, who was a corner, and moved him to safety, but he had corner-type ability, you know, for us that can play man-to-man. So, you know, we looked to that, and I think progressively that you see that, you know, not on every team, but you see that with – you know, the 4-3 teams. The 3-4 teams, sometimes, you know, they have the two inside linebackers and the two outside linebackers. Those outside linebackers convert to pass rushers as they go. So, but you're seeing a little bit of diversity in the play, but you're seeing more of, you know, a greater value put on players that are three-down players that can play man-to-man, play zone, pressure, do those things, and keep other teams off balance. And if you're not like that and you're just a really dominant player – then it doesn't matter. Yeah. This guy's going on the field and we're pressuring him.
Right.
He's coming.
Right.
Okay, fine. Okay, you still got to block him. You know, you still got to win. Even though you know someone's coming and you know what they're doing, you still got to be able to go out there and perform.
And I'm assuming that Coughlin has a lot to do with these player evaluations, things like that. Has he showed any signs of slowing down?
No. Him, and like I said, you know, between him, he does, you know, obviously he's looking at it. He's above myself and Dave. You know, he's above both the football side and the scouting side. So he's looking at everything from both those perspectives. But, you know, Dave Caldwell does a great job, you know what I'm saying, looking at, you know, those players along with the scouts and the pro department. So it's, you know, the coaching staff you have, and we're our primary job is to make sure that we prepare the players that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about all the other stuff. We'll write reports and we'll have a say in it. And we appreciate that as coaches. But our job is the players that we have to develop them to make them players. That's where I think that's the difference in coaching. I think a lot of guys can go and look at a book, find the words, go out there on the field, coach the players through the book or the PowerPoint presentations, but the job of the coach is to take, you know, I always think the definition of a coach is to take a player where he can't take himself. That, to me, that's the definition of a coach. So I always, when I was a position coach, I wanted to get the most out of these players and get more value out of them for the organization, but I also wanted to get them to be the best they can be and just keep hammering them and taking them, you know, to the next level. And I was fortunate, you know, at the Jets, Kevin Mawai's going into the Hall of Fame this mm-hmm. year, who, you know, I've had to work our schedule a little bit. I won't be able to go up there for the enshrinement ceremony, but I'll go up there for the gold jacket dinner. Mm-hmm. He invited me up there, which is important. Curtis is up there. And then, you know, I've had a bunch of guys that were with me in New Orleans, offensive linemen that, you know, may come up next, you know, for that. And like I said, I've coached all those players the same. It's not like you coach one player differently, meaning that, hey, I'm going to coach you to be a Pro Bowl player. I'm going to coach you to be a starter. Hey, I'm going to coach you to get cut. Right, you know, you coach them all the same and that talent go. But, you know, again, you're trying to since it's a salary cap system, there's some positions that you have to develop. Mm-hmm. You know, how many linemen are you going to spend money on? 3 out of 5, you know. But if you're spending 3 out of 5, where are you going to put the money into? Well, these other guys you better develop.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, your number one wide receiver, well, you better develop some receivers. You know, now, can you develop a pass rusher? That's tough. Can you develop a cover corner? That's tough. Can you develop a quarterback? That's tough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you'll see that those guys, when it comes down to the draft, they're going to go up and get those guys that can perform at that position.
Yeah. Do you think that Tom Coughlin knows what a podcast is?
Oh, I don't know. I can't speak for him. I don't know.
We want to get him on Part of My Take eventually. Yeah. But
well, call Tad, or call Dan Edwards, or whoever handles that.
Yeah. All right, I got one last question. SeatGeek question, put in promo code TAKE, you get $10 off. Go to a Jaguars game this year, $10 off. Big bounce back year for the Jaguars. All right, football guy to football guy. How excited are you for the start of training camp? That first day, do you get like chills still down your spine when you're just like, here we go, football is back, the grass, the sprinklers are going, you see the helmets out there. How good does that feel? Yeah, you can keep chewing. He's chewing.
We're eating bologna.
He's chewing. We're eating bologna. Keep chewing.
My favorite part, when stick to the top of your...
It is good.
My favorite part, when it sticks up there, that's when you know the bread is fresh. Thank you so much.
The American cheese also helps it stick a little bit, too.
Yeah,
it acts like a little binder.
It sticks right up there.
You know, I think... So here's what happens, all right? Everyone, at the end of the year, you're working to get all the schedules done, meaning for, you know, training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So you're working like hell, so you can kind of take a little break and kind of get away from it. So then the first couple of days after the mandatory minicamp, you know, once everything's set, so you're set for training camp. So we have our schedule set from now all the way to the end of the season and hopefully into, you know, the playoffs and the Super Bowl run. So that schedule is all set up. Every single day, like if you said, hey, Doug, what are you doing on November 28th or December 18th at 4 o'clock? I could probably tell you,
right?
You know, if I looked at my schedule. So a lot of planning goes into that. So then the first 7 to 8 days that you're off, then you're kind of acclimating back into your family. So you get into the house and it's like, you know, hey, wait a minute, you haven't lived here for the past couple months. No, no. Why are you putting a spoon there? No,
right.
That doesn't go there. So you're like, now there's a lot of tension, a lot
right.
of stress.
Right.
Different type of stress, a lot of stress.
Right.
But then after that, when you settle in, those next 7 or 8 days, best days ever. You're kind of in the flow. You're with the family. Nothing's going on. It's kind of a dead period because a lot of people take vacations the first week of July and the second week after the fourth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those 2 weeks are probably the best 2 weeks. Nothing's going on. Relax. Then after that, you're like, oh, shit, here it comes. You start hearing. You know, you're in the car. Yep. You know, look, guys come back from vacation.
Away,
they start
yeah.
predicting, but this and that. And then you come in there. Hey, what's going to happen here? What's going on there? And then all of a sudden, I don't know the first day. I like to get rolling first because the first couple of days you got to kind of get physicals out of the way, conditioning out of the way, all kinds of, you know, league rules and stuff like that you've got to talk to the team about, you know. And then once all that stuff goes and we kind of get into it, like a rhythm, you know what I'm saying, or a system of what we want to do, that's when I feel it's going. And but I always like it because I always try to get up there and, you know, our first practice, I try to play like the Boys of Fall by Chesney, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And that's when I get really
the vibe going. Yeah,
yeah. I get a good vibe.
You
I like
start
that.
Hearing the grit, you start hearing the pads collide a little bit.
Close your eyes.
The whistles.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of nice, right? Just thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. I think like the song says it all. I mean, you know, the smell of the grass, you know, which, you know, it's funny. So the other day, I was back in Jacksonville. I'm driving by and I'm going by the stadium. I'm like, holy shit, the grass. So I'm trying to figure this out. I got to talk to my grounds guys because they're awesome. Mm-hmm. But so they've been watering and seeding this grass for like months, right? I mean, no one goes on the game field. It's perfect. I mean, mm-hmm. It really is beautiful, you know. And then all of a sudden, I guess, you know, so we got the stones coming in on the 18th, I think, of July. So I think they ripped up the grass. I'm like, well, shit, I got to ask them, why were they seeding it and cutting it and doing all that shit and just to rip it up? I don't know if they put it somewhere and they're going to put it back in or not. But
maybe a football game breaks out.
But I tell you what, I do love like that smell of grass.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You know, what's going on out there. And like I always said before, like people always say water doesn't have a taste to it. I always tell people they've never gone through double sessions. Well, we don't go through it now, but truly double sessions in the heat because – I'll never forget when I was in Miami, we were going through double sessions with Coach Shula. That was the best damn tasting water I've ever had in my life.
Did you guys have the water horse where it would be, you know, nine holes punctured in
that was in college.
Thing?
In college, yeah, we had it against the fence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you're looking over there and you see it going. Because in college, they would actually blow a whistle and then you'd have water where, like, you know, you look back in the past and you're like, holy cow. You know, now we have water available all the time. Hydration is such a key for mm-hmm. soft tissue and all the other stuff. So water's available all the time. But, like, I think about when I was growing up, I'm like, well, you know, this is bullshit. You guys aren't doing it. You're not – no water break today. Get your asses out there. I'm like,
can't
you
do
go
that
out
anymore.
There and play.
Yeah.
You know, say, now you if you did that, forget about it.
Yeah. Can't do that anymore. All right, I have one last question. Bologna sandwiches, do you prefer the standard bread like this or do you like the footlong, the Nick Foles style?
I think when I go out – in other words, if I'm going to order it mm-hmm. and I'm going to be on a bus or a plane, I'm going to go with that bread.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to do it more during the week. At the end of the week, I don't do that because, you know, Sunday growing up was, you know, obviously macaroni and gravy. You know what I'm saying?
Gravy,
so,
yep,
so,
sure.
Yeah. So we always had to have fresh Italian bread.
Red sauce.
And then I'll get the Italian bread. During, but there's nothing like I said, when it sticks to the top of your mouth,
that's
the
you
bread.
Know.
That's when you know it's good ass bread, right? So for me, you know that was always important. So I go with that when I'm out, and I go with this because I never trust other people. Like you know, how some people are really good at picking vegetables and feeling them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm okay with that. But what I'm good at, the damn bread.
Yeah,
I can touch that bread and feel that bread and be like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
I'm taking this one right here.
You know what you do with a stale one? You just break it up. You turn it into stuffing or dressing, depending on where you're from.
No, listen, slimy bologna. Yeah. You fry.
Yep.
Right. So when the bologna gets slimy, stale bread, French toast.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's a good point.
There
right, because how many times are you going to eat stuffing?
Yeah,
you're the greenest coach out there.
Yeah,
I don't know about greenest.
I'm just saying,
you don't have much.
You use every part of the buffalo.
I
got to tell, like for me, everyone's like, I always love to cook because you know both my parents worked, so I would, you know, I'd come home and stuff, and I'd be like, well, shit. Well, okay, wait a minute. There's the macaroni cheese. I get that. Well, wait a minute. There's some hot dogs. Let me cut those hot dogs up. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. There's some lentil beans. Wait, I like lentils. Lentils, cut hot dogs
Doug's
into lentils.
Kitchen, huh? Yeah.
So I do that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Best of luck this year.
Enjoy Billy Joel tonight, too.
Yeah. Enjoy Billy Joel.
Billy Joel tonight. Yep,
yeah.
I know.
Appreciate the sandwiches.
Always love coming by. You guys got to come down, though.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Back
We'd
to the pool.
To.
Hey, hopefully I can win games and be there.
Yeah.
There
we'll
you
be
go.
There. Yes.
All right.
That interview with Doug Marrone was brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, you know how challenging hiring can be sometimes. It's tough to find qualified candidates. It takes a long time. There are too many applicants. But ZipRecruiter makes it super, super easy. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. Check it out. Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing interview process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. ZipRecruiter will send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. And as applicants come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the very first day. What does that mean for you? Well, if you're looking to hire somebody, you don't have to worry about unqualified candidates coming through. You don't have to worry about wasting your time. You can know that you can just put your job to 100 of the web's leading job boards, and they are going to send you somebody that's going to work. You can get to interviewing, get to hiring, and get to making that money. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. So that's free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now,
something completely different.
Okay, we now welcome on recurring guest.
Yeah, yay.
Ice Cube.
Yeah, yay.
He's back.
What's cracking?
You don't remember us.
I do.
There's a point.
I remember that long hair.
Okay, there's going to be a point in this interview where you will remember us because we're going to bring up something that happened the last time.
All right.
But we are happy to have you back. The Big Three.
Yes.
Season three?
Season three.
Is off and running.
Yes.
You guys have been blowing up. I feel like this is the first two seasons were a success, but this is the season where everyone's looking at it like, whoa, this is really a great thing, and they're getting big time names.
Good. You know, that's where we want to be. You know, we want to be in the lexicon, so to speak, of sports.
So how has it worked getting those bigger names, guys recruiting each other? You had, Katino Mobley, which I love his beard.
Yes.
And you're like, that's an old guy, yeah. But I love it. Joe Johnson is playing.
Yes.
Glenn Davis. How are you getting bigger and bigger guys as you progress?
They want to hoop. You know,
that's
it. It's simple. You know, guys, you know, the first year we knew guys would sit and watch. The second year, guys wanted to play, but it was too late because we was already in it. And guys was like, well, I want to play. I'm going to come up there next week. And we're like, dude, it ain't a celebrity game.
Right. Uh-huh.
It's a league.
It's you got to
sign
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to sign up. You got to get picked. You got to get a contract. You can't just pop up.
Right.
No, it's pretty great the way that you guys have done it, because I think the first season there were a lot of highlights that made it out there. And not only did it get the attention of some players that might want to play once they're done in the NBA or make the switch, I think just everybody started talking about it in general.
Yeah.
I noticed you – were you on Get Up this morning?
Yeah, I was on Get Up.
How is my man Greeny doing? He's like my best friend.
Oh,
we've never met,
there?
But he's like my best friend.
I think he was on vacation.
Yeah, yeah. He, really? He actually wasn't there today.
Damn. That's disappointing.
But it's – you know, it's been good, you know, trying to, you know, get the sport in the right place. Pushing it, you know, having the players buy in. We had a lot of players come, you know, NBA players come out to the games, and they want to be a part of it. So we had to expand to 12 teams, play 2 nights a week.
I like it. What's your official title with the league?
Founder.
Founder.
Co-founder.
I like it. Now, do you call the – are there team owners or governors?
No.
So how are the team – how is each individual team run then?
They're ran by the players.
I like that.
Nice.
I like that.
So now, the captain is the head of the team, but he has two co-captains and a coach, and between them, you know, they get the things ran, and you know, mm-hmm. as serious as you take it, is as serious as you go in the league. You know, if you take it dead serious, you might win a championship.
Now, as the founder, how much do you listen, especially after that first season, to feedback from fans, like what's working, what's not? Did you make any changes?
Oh, yeah. You know, listening to the fans is very critical. You know, I don't want to know what the fans like about the league. You know what I mean? I want to know what the fans think can be improved
mm-hmm.
so we can analyze it and figure it out and give the people what they want. You know?
Okay. So here's one that I want to be improved. I want Lamar Odom to stay in the league.
Well, I do too.
Okay.
You know, but he has to be able to play at this level. Like I said, it's not a celebrity game.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are going hard. Guys are training. Guys are in shape. Guys are ready to play at this level. So he has to be ready. So, you know, this year we felt that he wasn't ready to play. And that doesn't mean he can't come out next year and go for it. You know, whether he wants to or not, that's on him. But I wanted him in the league. He wouldn't be in if we didn't want him.
What about fighting? I've seen a couple clips this year where guys have been jawing back and forth. Are you cool with it? Do you want that to happen? Or do you think that's bad?
I don't want no fight.
Oh, I do, though, as a fan.
No,
we're doing the fan open forum here.
No fights. Trash talking, yeah.
Okay.
You know, all that is good. You know, smack talking. You know, you might get in each other's face a little now and then.
You know, no fighting.
But you guys should allow fighting so that everyone always complains that the NBA's gotten soft and the fights aren't real fights, and it's not like, you know, the 80s and early 90s when teams would actually fight. You should go back to that and let everyone brawl.
I mean, do you come to a basketball game to see a fight?
It wouldn't be bad. If it happened, I'd be excited.
Bonus. Yeah. No. Little bonus.
Well, if it happens, it's going to happen just out of natural, you know, emotion.
I mean, there could be.
We're not going to encourage fighting or allow fighting. And if you fight on my court, it's going to be a price to pay.
There's going to be consequences for it.
Consequences and repercussions.
Ooh. As a fan, I would like to see kind of like an augmentation to the and one rule, where if you cross somebody up so bad that they fall down and then you hit the shot in their eye, that's an extra point right there.
Oh, damn.
That'd be nice, right?
Yeah, that would be nice.
We'll throw that in the suggestion box. Uh-huh.
What about if we had a coffin on the other end of the court? So if you get crossed up so bad, you have to go lay in the coffin for 3 minutes.
That's
like a penalty
funny.
Box.
Yeah. I like that.
That's
that'd be good.
Funny.
You know, because everyone always does the skull the skull emoji on Twitter.
Yeah.
And being like, oh my God, he's dead. He took his soul.
Damn,
uh-huh. Let's really take his soul.
And then when they get out of the coffin, they're doing the Undertaker gif where they pop up.
Yeah.
Not dead yet.
Now you're back.
I'm back in the game.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Think about it.
Just think about it.
Idea.
Do you want us on your team, on your board of governors or whatever
sure,
you call it?
Sure, why not?
Okay, what's the pay?
Nothing.
Fuck. Who's the Woj for the big three? Who's out there breaking all the news for you guys?
Man, we got a guy named Oliver. I don't want to butcher his last name. but he's been like a day one diehard. You know, always kind of want to know what's the scoop, and he puts it out on the internet, so it's kind of cool.
I've got a dog that breaks news. If you're looking for, like, a Woj that's really going to be, like, the guy that breaks news for the big three, my dog Leroy, he's an insider in a number of sports. You've probably already heard of him. Probably very familiar with him. He'll be happy to break any news that you guys have.
Okay, let me see a reel on him. You got one?
A reel on Leroy? We could probably bring up a reel on. Can somebody bring up when he got that piece of bread stuck on his back? That's pretty impressive.
So I want to talk about the Lakers.
Yes.
Are you going to be a Clippers fan now?
Well, he is a Clippers fan.
Never a Clippers
fan. No, he's not.
Marcellus Wiley told me that you were a Clippers fan.
Marcellus Wiley is an alcoholic. he's a heroin addict.
No, that's I'm not a Clippers fan.
Yeah, I'm not. I will never be a Dippers fan.
Okay.
Matter of fact, they better watch their back.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
So were you mad that Kawhi didn't pick the Lakers? Because that was – I've said this before, but, you know, when you have the little brother, big brother relationship.
I wasn't
teams,
mad. I felt sorry for him.
Oh.
I felt sorry.
Doing that, even though you guys, the Lakers, have not made the playoffs in forever, you're like, that. I feel sorry for you?
I feel sorry. Yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for them.
So
– what does making the playoffs do if you don't win the chip?
Well, the Lakers have been a joke recently.
Oh. Nobody's laughing now, though.
Oh, okay.
I always say, "Laugh now, cry later."
Are you gonna? Are you a full on LeBron guy, or are you still like Kobe's better?
Well, what you mean by full on LeBron guy?
Well,
what does that mean?
It's been interesting to watch Laker fans. I think LeBron has come in as slightly a mercenary, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Where he's obviously a Laker, you're rooting for him. He's an all time great. But he's not a Laker. He's not a Magic. He's not a Kobe. He's not a guy who
not
who is
until
there
he
the
wins
whole time.
The chip.
Okay, he's got to earn his.
He got to win the chip, and then he'll be loved like all the Lakers that win it.
Okay,
are loved. I mean, Kobe played 20 years for the Lakers, so nobody's gonna come in there and disrupt that groove. Not even Magic or Kareem. Kobe got his own lane. Magic got his own lane. Kareem got his own lane. You can't bump them off of what they've done. So LeBron, a championship would get him the love and respect from Laker fans that you know all our champions get.
Do you talk to LeBron?
No, not a lot.
Has he asked?
Well, I mean, you know, when I see him when we doing something together, I did his show. Then I talk to him, but am I calling him and asking him about stuff and. You know, is he in my business? Am I in his business? No.
Who do you think is the alpha on that team right now? Is it LeBron's team or is it AD's team?
I think it's LeBron's team. I mean, he's the veteran, and he has the championship. So AD is going to have to learn how to how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been asked by anyone in the Lakers to go to like one of their pitches for free agents?
No.
You think, would you? If Magic called you up and was like, hey, we could really use some celebrity fans here.
Nope.
Why not?
Because you're not going to blame me for not getting a player.
That's smart.
You're not blaming me.
That is very smart.
Limited upside to that. It's like when the Raptors brought Drake in and they made him a big part of the pitch for Kawhi to stay there and Kawhi decided not to. That looks bad on Drake.
It does.
Yes.
And it's none of Drake's business because Drake is not a owner of the Raptors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, you got to be a fan and step back and stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your football team.
Yes,
moving to Las Vegas.
Yes.
How do you feel about their future? Are you still in on John Gruden?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, when he was there the first time, they shouldn't have let him go. But now that he's back, we'll see if they should have brought him back.
Yeah.
You know, the jury's still out.
Yeah.
Now, how does that work being a Raiders fan? I know there are a lot of people in Los Angeles that will remain Raiders fans or that have remained Raiders fans. Are they going to stick around through the move to Las Vegas?
Yes.
Once and forever?
Yeah, they'll be there. I mean, more people from L.A. go to Vegas than to Oakland.
That's true. So it's closer.
Do you get nervous when there's an earthquake?
Yeah.
I would be scared by that.
Yeah, I mean, don't fuck not with scared. It depends on – it's two different kind of earthquakes. It's like one that rolls, where it's just everything is kind of like rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's the herky-jerky – somebody picked up your house and dropping it.
Uh-huh.
Those are the ones.
It's like Chopped and Screwed versus Dubstep.
I guess. But those are the ones that are the ones that rattle your nerves is when it feel like somebody's picking up your house and dropping it.
Uh-huh. You got to be scared of the big one, right?
I mean, scared? I don't know. I ain't never been through it, so I don't know how I'm going
to
feel.
Here's my theory is that California is such an awesome place to live, especially L.A. with the weather and everything like that, that everyone who doesn't live in L.A. and doesn't live in California has to always remind people who live in California about the big one to make ourselves feel better. Like, you're going to die in an earthquake, dude.
Oh, man.
I'm not. I mean, you're
going to die in a snowstorm.
It's the only thing that we have.
It's really all we got. So we got to do it. We got to remind you.
That's cool. You know, I guess everybody got to have their reason not to like a place.
Uh-huh. It's just purely bitterness on our part.
Yeah, that's right. All it is. Got to make yourself feel
I'm
better.
I'm mad about all those 70-degree days when the sun is out. So just remember, one of those 70-degree days where the sun is out, the whole state's going to fall in the ocean.
That ain't how it happens. It's usually one of those quiet days that feel funky.
You can feel – are you like how dogs can feel earthquakes? You feel it in your knees?
Yeah. Well, no, not like that. But my wife – The day we just had these earthquakes out there, and my wife was like, it's too still out there. I don't hear birds. I don't hear nothing.
Oh,
it's like,
fuck.
It's one of them eerie, quiet days. You wake up and you don't hear nothing.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, something's coming because nothing's outside moving.
Yes. You know, so. I believe that.
I want to get into a little bit of your acting career. You're an esteemed actor. Do you think you're a better actor than your son?
Yep.
Oh, okay. How much work does he have to do to catch up to his dad?
About 20 years.
Ooh.
So it's a longevity thing.
Yeah, I mean, I got more experience.
Mm-hmm. Were you impressed the first time that you saw him on the big screen?
Yep, very impressed.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. I mean, he does things, he does certain things, you know, better than me.
Yeah. Would you be in Space Jam 2?
I got to look at the script. It depends on what part it is. And you know, I got to kind of know about the movie making part of it.
Mm-hmm. So far, we've got what Don Cheadle said that he would be in it yesterday. Dwight Howard
told us he'd
be in it if he was asked. So that's like a big three right there.
But any basketball player better jump in it. You know, like
I don't know. See, I think LeBron doesn't have the same pull that he had 5 years ago.
What pull? What's pull got to do with it? You're not coming to be a part of LeBron's team.
Well, it's his movie.
Being in a movie that the man is in.
Yeah, no, it's his movie, though. I feel like he doesn't have the same – it's a different chapter of his career. He is not – you know, when he was in his late 20s, early 30s, the league revolved around LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
This past year, missing the playoffs and having the Lakers kind of fumble a little bit, it doesn't feel like the league totally revolves around LeBron anymore.
Yeah, well – that's kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm excited for this next season.
Yeah, it's a good thing. You know, so, He should be fine with that.
Are you worried at all about Kawhi taking over Staples Center? He's the guy who would do it, a robot.
No. If he does it, he's going to do it quietly. So I ain't worried about it.
How many championships would the Clippers have to win for L.A. to shift to a Clipper town?
17.
Yeah, there you go. They'd have to go 17 in a row probably.
Yep.
For people to start saying it's no longer a Laker
town. I don't know. I feel like if they get two in a row, if they rip off two in a row right now, things are going to change a little bit in L.A.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because everyone loves a winner.
We'll have a little bit. They'll have two. We'll have 16.
Looking into like a crystal ball, how many barbershops are we going to end up with? Please say like
three.
Eight. Nine.
Three.
Come on.
I don't know if another one will happen.
They're all good. Just keep
making
them.
They're all good.
Yeah.
You got to keep thinking of stories that make it a good reason to go back into the barbershop.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Your hair got too long.
Let's do a two-hour movie.
Two-hour movie about just a guy getting his haircut.
Go there. You got to sit because you got to wait.
There should be a white barbershop where it's just like a guy getting his haircut and then somebody like just in total silence.
No, yeah.
For like 30 minutes and then they accidentally bump their balls up against you and you both get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's what happens when white people
make
get
that movie. It's a guy who's kind of balding. So his barber, like maybe the start of it is the barber feeling a little bit awkward. He's like, uh-huh. I don't really want to give him a haircut. Makes a couple faces to him and then it's just silence.
You guys are terrible script writers.
Well,
we're working on
it. See, our idea is to pitch you these terrible scripts to make our ideas for the big three sound even better by comparison.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. I get it now. I get the philosophy.
How many more Fridays are we going to get?
I don't know. You know, we're going to get one more for sure. And you never know. You know, if that one, people love it, why not do another one?
I've always wondered about those movies because I know in Hollywood they come up with like fake weed for you to smoke on set so you don't stay high all the time. Do you guys ever just say, fuck that, we're just going to smoke a real joint?
Well, we smoke real weed in our trailer and then come out and smoke the fake weed on set.
So they're doing a really good job by giving you fake weed to keep you not high.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How does it, like at this point of your career, are you... when you decide what you want to do in terms of work-wise, whether it be movies, whether it be big three, are you a little bit more picky or are you just like, I love to work and I want to keep working?
I've always been picky. You know, I've always been like, you know, can I make this better? Is my presence going to make this project better? Mm-hmm. If not, then I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
If yeah, then I'll start looking and figuring out, okay, this is something I can do.
And when you read a script, are you like, this is it? If you see something, you're like, you know right away? Or do you have to sometimes, you know, sometimes someone can like wear you down. Like, we're going to wear you down on a couple scripts. Would eventually you be like, fine, I'll fucking make this movie? Or is it just a, I'm in love with this script or I'm not?
Sometimes it's, I'm in love with it, let's roll. But, you know, I mean, my manager talked me into doing Three Kings, you know, which was a cool movie I did with
great
George
movie.
Clooney and Mark Wahlberg, but reading it, I'm like, man, you know, I don't see it. And they were like, oh, this is going to be great. So, and I met with the director and saw what kind of movie he wanted to make. Then it was like, oh, okay, I can see it now.
Mm-hmm. But
the script didn't tell me what it was going to be.
Yeah.
All right, what was it about the script of Anaconda that you were like, I want to be in this fucking movie?
The black man didn't die. That was it. It was like, what? I said, I'll only be in the movie if I live through the whole movie.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, they were like, yeah, you can, you know, go ahead. I said, okay. And I get to kill the snake, me and Jennifer.
Yeah,
great
that movie.
Snake,
yeah.
That snake kept, that gave me nightmares.
Yo,
terrifying.
The snake, it's an animatronic thing, you know, weighed about a ton. You know, it was like heavy because it was hooked up to this computer. And one day, the snake malfunctioned and almost killed Jennifer Lopez on the set.
What?
Holy shit.
They couldn't stop it, and it just started tearing up the set. So we were really scared of this damn thing. You know, it's like, y'all got it? Is the computer working? Everything going to malfunction? Because it's this thick, and it's made of metal wrapped in, like, a tire. So it's hard as shit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And... yo, we was like, this thing about the, and, you know, they have it right there. And we're like, man, this thing is just going to malfunction and bust my nose open, you know, because it just went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had a lot of glitches in it. So we was really scared of that damn fake snake.
I feel like that would be that story if someone like died from a big fake snake. It'd be like, well, that kind of made sense. They were tempting like God there by just making this incredible huge fake snake.
Thank you.
Pretending that it's not a real snake.
And it killed somebody for real.
And then it killed you. And then it's deadlier than a real snake.
The damn snake made more money than us. It took him like $7-10 million to make that damn thing. I'm like, what?
Shit.
You delivered one of my favorite lines in movie history in that film. And it was, I think it was, damn, the axe fell out. After you hit it with the axe. That's how we knew that the anaconda wasn't dead yet when it swam away.
Damn. I thought it was, is snakes out here that big? Wait a minute.
That's also a great
line. A good one, yeah.
All right, wrapping up. So I alluded to it at the beginning of the show that we were going to do something that you would probably then like click, oh, I remember these guys. So we're going to do it right now, and that is PFT wrote a rap. So I don't know if you remember, but last time you were on, he wrote you a rap.
Well, it's freestyle.
Yeah.
It's a freestyle.
Freestyle.
I'm like Black Thought.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but last time we tried it, it didn't go so well. I think you probably were like, I don't know about these guys.
I think you said I was terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
But no, you said I was bad, but like the cool way that people
say. You're like
that cat's bad.
You guys are bad.
Okay.
Like that.
It's a freestyle.
Are you ready for freestyle. It? I'm going to do the beat again.
Do I get a chance to return it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Please do. All right, here we go.
Hit me. You better step back when you step to PMT. Hank's a cat killer, big cat keeps realer. I'll go bananas on your ass, I'm a tiny old gorilla. Paper thin windows making noise all night like graduation. Sigma come loud to the mic. PMT we ride together, we're separating never. Protect this town forever, this shit's hot like the weather. Takes so hot, they're gonna make you sweat. Today was a good day, but it's not done yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn!
Yeah, yeah.
No, that was actually pretty good, yeah. You actually have flow on that. I mean, the beatbox.
I didn't know he was going to go that fast.
Yeah. No, the beat helped me out. Yeah. Like, anyone could sound
good. I also
good
can't
over that.
Do the. I get out of breath. Yeah. So you know how it is.
But yeah, the rhyme was. It was way tighter than last time.
Thank what was you. The last time? I can't remember.
I forget. I probably started out by saying, like, my name's PMT, and I'm here to say.
Yeah.
And I'm here to say.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever actually started a rap song by saying that?
I wrote my first rap. Ever. That was my line. No, it was I want you to know. It wasn't I'm here
my
to say.
My name is Ice Cube like, and I'm here to know.
My name is Ice Cube and
it's
I want you
funky
to
group
know.
Called NWA.
I'm not Curtis. I'm not Run DMC or Curtis Blow. That was my first rap line ever wrote in my history of rhyming. I was 14 and that was my first rhyme. My name is Ice Cube. I want you to know. I'm not Run DMC or Curtis Blow.
Did it hit?
Hell no. It was nobody liked my rap. I was trying to rap it to everybody. Everybody's like, man, you rap now? What's you doing?
Get a job.
Have you ever written something and you thought like instantly when it came out, you're like, this is going to be awesome. This is a great verse that I just wrote. And then nobody likes it?
I don't know if like nobody likes it because they wouldn't tell me if they didn't like it. But it didn't sell. So you're like, damn. Thought that was the one.
Yeah. And what about the reverse? One that you're like, that's okay, and then it just became the biggest hit.
Yeah. Song I did called Check Yourself. It's like, I did a remix to it that I was like, oh, this is cool. We throw in the beat from Grandmaster Flash, the message, and it just kind of kept growing.
Yeah.
Kept growing.
Yeah. That's got to feel pretty damn good.
It is.
It's like, that wasn't even my best shit, and you guys loved it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stumble on a hit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell
we
yeah.
do that sometimes with episodes.
I need to stumble on a hit.
Yeah. Just I'm overdue hit. For one of those.
I just want one hit once.
What kind of hit you talking about? Some dudes downstairs that'll give you what you need.
Oh, okay. Well, we could do that.
Maybe we could do an Old Town Road remix.
Yeah.
Would you do one of those?
Everyone's going to do that.
A what?
Old Town Road remix?
Matters how much it's banging.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll just start. Maybe that will be our thing. We'll remix the remixes.
Of Old Town Road?
Of Old
remix
Town Road.
Version 2.0?
Of the remix.
Okay, I like that. This
with
is the
Ice
remix
Cube.
To
Can
the
we put
remix.
Your name on it? Can we say that you're loosely attached?
No.
Okay.
No. That loosely attached. I heard
we
that
get a lot of
times.
People loosely attached. Who do we have loosely attached to something?
We had Jimmy Tatro.
Oh, yeah.
Loosely
attached to a couple of scripts of ours.
Some scripts we're producing.
Yeah. So you just say that. You talk to someone. You say, hey, can you be loosely attached? And then boom.
next thing you know, we're going and talking to people trying to throw your name around.
Putting your name there. Yeah, loosely attached means you're not getting paid for it.
Right.
That's what that means.
And just so you know.
Or you're not going to be a part of the project when we really get the money.
Right. And just so you know, just because you declined the loosely attached there, you're still loosely attached.
I mean, you know, everybody name drop. Mm-hmm. Everybody name drop to get something done.
Yeah.
Can you just say, I'm going to ride till I can't no more? Just say that. And then we'll just isolate that and we'll put it in our own remix. Just say, I'm going to ride till I can't no more.
I'm good.
All right, Big Three. Where can everyone watch? What, I mean, it's going to be awesome. It's already started.
Yeah.
It has been awesome.
You can check us out Saturday, this Saturday, this Sunday, CBS at noon Eastern. Get busy. Check us out. Great basketball. Or come to the damn game. We at Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay.
And we in Brooklyn, New York.
Hell yeah.
You got to see it live, man. Seeing 7-footers play 3-on-3 is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Can we bet on it?
Yeah.
I feel like my bookie doesn't have lines for it yet. I need to get
that. He should, or he ain't on top of it.
That's the
tell
big
him
key.
Stop being slow. Yeah. He wants your money.
So what should I bet? Do you have any inside tips?
Bet it all, man. Bet your house.
Okay. All right. I don't have one, so. Perfect.
Done.
Done. It's bet.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
great to have you on.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. That interview with Ice Cube was brought to you by Rough and Rowdy 9. Rough and Rowdy 9 is going to Fort Bragg, North Carolina for a red, white, and bruised beatdown. Rough and Rowdy is the best event that we do. Everybody says it every time, and this is going to be no exception. We're talking about amateur fighters. They have no defense whatsoever. It's all haymakers all the time, combined with the funniest, most action-packed 4 hours you'll ever have. We guarantee at some point you're going to have tears in your eyes laughing because you've never seen anything like this. It is bizarre, wild stuff, and it's always so fun to watch. Check out Rough and Rowdy 9. You're going to get laugh-out-loud, nonstop commentary from Big Cat and Large, plus insane, unpredictable action in the ring. There's always one star that comes out of each Rough and Rowdy. There's always one person that you're going to want to know. Who knows who it's going to be this time, but you're going to want to be talking about. Imagine being the guy at the water cooler on Monday that didn't buy Rough and Rowdy, and you're trying to figure out, oh, that construction worker. Oh, yeah, he was. No, I don't know who he is. You're going to have to lie. You're going to say something that's going to get you caught in a lie. Everyone's going to know that you didn't buy Rough and Rowdy, and they're going to make fun of you. So go to buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com to learn how you can watch the fight. Ooh, you can watch it for free. There's a way to do it, but you're going to have to go to buyrnr.com to find out how.
Nice. It's going to be awesome. All right, let's do our Mount Rushmore and finish up with a couple segments. We have the Mount Rushmore of animal traits you would like to have. And should we, well, first of all, we need to figure out the order.
Wait. It's animal traits that you wish that you had.
Animal qualities animal, that you wish you had. Yeah.
I prepared for the wrong Mount Rushmore,
what did
so
you
let's
do?
Go.
What did you do?
I just thought it was traits that you wish I had, so I just said a little bit taller, a baller, a rabbit in a hat with a bat, that's, and so a 6'4 Impala.
That's like I'm going to give it a 1.8.
No, I really did prepare for the wrong Mount Rushmore.
All right, animal traits you wish you had. Who is starting?
It's got to be me.
Is it? Okay, yeah. Jake, PMT Sports Biz Jake Marsh says that it is you, so then I would be second. Let's also just clear this up, that if you can pick the same animal with different trait, correct?
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
I think that's
fine. I mean, based off that, we might not even have the same. Like, my first one is the ability to fly.
Okay. So, well, which what animal?
Bald eagle.
Okay. You just picked a bald eagle randomly.
Animal qualities that you wish
you
had.
Yeah, you don't want the fastest. You want the Pellegrine Falcon, bro.
The bald eagle is the boss of the air.
It's not bottled water because it's Peregrine Falcon.
Pellegrino Falcon.
I will take the LaCroix Eagle.
All right, wait. But, Hank, that's – okay, so you want that. But someone can pick a faster bird.
I guess.
Okay.
I thought it was just animal quality. So, like, a bird has the ability to fly. I didn't know it was, like, we're going specific animal, specific quality.
I don't know. I guess we'll go with it. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm happy you didn't pick my first one because I have a bunch of good ones, but I had to do this one. A dog's loyalty. That's number one for me.
That's pretty good.
Yes. A dog's loyalty.
Mine, I'm going to go with tiger stripes.
What?
Tigers have badass stripes. If you're telling me that you don't think tigers look awesome,
okay,
then you're a moron.
You're fucked.
You have two.
You have two.
Okay. My next one is a rabbit's horniness.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Fucking like rabbits.
Okay. I'll go with
I'll go. You don't know about rabbits fucking?
I'll go with the cheetah's speed.
You just wish you were fast?
Yeah, I wish I was a cheetah. A cheetah's speed.
Okay.
No, the speed of a cheetah.
Like the mess.
This is
of
the
cheetah.
Worst Mount Rushmore we've ever done.
You're the one that wanted to do it.
No, you say, you're the one who said it. I was like, oh, that's good. And then PFT wasn't listening.
I was just rattling off a lot of general lists, and you're like, let's do
I do
one.
Think this is a good Mount Rushmore. It's just gone sideways, but I do think it is.
No, I honestly, a cheetah speed isn't bad.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to be fast.
I agree.
Yeah. I'd much rather have
You'd
the tiger
really
stripes.
Really fucking fast.
But that's a good consolation prize.
I will go with, like, a dog's desire and passion to ball 24/7.
Oh.
Like, if I had that.
So you want to be Gronk.
Yeah, if I had a dog's desire and passion to just play ball every second of every day, I'd be in.
You wouldn't
be
have a job.
Wait, no, I would. I'd be a professional something.
You'd want to chase balls all day long. Is that what you're saying?
Like most dogs, like their like day is like, when do I get to play ball?
Right. Next? When do I get to see
like
the ball?
That,
yeah.
If I had that, if that was my like mindset, I had that quality, like I'd be a pro.
Okay.
Because that's all you do.
Okay, Hank.
Pretty cool,
close.
Hank.
Yes, pretty
that's
close.
Fucked up. That's fucked up.
Hank was stared looking for the ball.
Like this.
And then I'll go with chameleon, like the ability to be a chameleon,
change colors.
That's really good. That's good, Hank. That's good. Okay, I'll go with my third pick. I'll go with an ant's strength, 10 to 50 times body weight.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you had an ant's strength, you'd be weak as fuck.
I'd have a 10 to 50 times body weight.
He's talking proportional.
I would have
yeah, the dude,
ten,
how much can an ant lift? Like one.
But
ant,
it's
a rubber tree
it's
plant.
Proportional. So it, I'm.
Oh,
I have
oh,
10 to 50 times the body weight. I can lift 10 to 50 times my body weight, which is like, I don't know.
So that means
2,000 pounds.
That also means
the
fatter you get,
the stronger
the
I am.
Exponentially
yes.
stronger you
yes.
get.
How would you not want that?
I didn't know where you were going proportional. I thought it was like if you get an ant strength, then you can lift like 1 ounce.
No, I want 10 to 50 times.
I'm going to go with, same with proportionality here, I'm going with a flea's jumping ability.
Ooh, good one.
I'd be able to jump to the moon.
Yes.
If a flea were the size
of
me.
You'd be able to dunk, finally.
No, I could dunk on any hoop. I could dunk on Saturn's rings. That's
okay.
How high I could jump.
Okay.
And then my last one is going to be the sting of a hornet.
Ooh,
just
good.
If I had a little stinger.
Hornets die after
yeah,
they
die
sting.
Right
no,
after.
No, Hank, common misconception. You're thinking of a honeybee. A hornet stinger is smooth. It glides in, glides out.
Oh,
so
nice.
Hornet can sting multiple. I actually want to give a real quick Monday reading. We don't have a Monday reading coming today, but this is from my mom for all you people that don't believe in deadly a single hornet can be.
Okay.
She said, I got this last night. I just got stung in the butt by one of those huge hornets, like the one that stung you. It's been an hour and my butt still hurts badly. Ouch. I'm okay. Dad got it. It flew up to the ceiling and he killed it when it came down.
Damn.
So that's a quick
shout
Monday
out
read.
Dad.
Shout
hero.
Out to my dad and my
hero.
Mom.
Hero. That's hero ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dad strength. That's a dad move too. Just mm-hmm. killing the smallest animal in the world that you know threatens the family.
You hurt my wife,
the
you son of a
this
bitch.
This mouse that scared everyone, I got this.
I bet my dad just stayed in the living room staring at the ceiling for like 20 minutes. Just
I did a newspaper.
Count him on in Crisco. Yeah. Actually, he's a big tennis racket guy.
That's doesn't seem like it would work for a hornet.
It was Wimbledon
Fly
Sunday.
Right through. All right. My last one, I'll go with a bear's fishing ability. That would be sick. If I could just fucking grab fish out of the water, that would be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anything? No? Okay.
Rocky did that.
You guys are doing nothing here.
I'm just thinking about you doing that.
It would be sick.
You would never do it, though.
Yes, I would. I would be like, hey, guys, watch me grab this fish out of the fucking river.
You know what would be crazy?
I think you could do that, though.
No,
still.
Wait, what?
Yes.
You think I could just grab salmon by the fucking thousand?
Yes.
No chance.
Dude, I've been watching a lot of Planet Earth. Like, their method is not that crazy.
It would be awesome to
you
be
just
able
gotta,
to grab
their
it.
Their method is they go out in freezing water and they stand there for hours and they
and
catch
just,
it with their mouths.
Right. And they just scoop them up.
You but
catch
you could
it with
do
your
that
mouth.
In theory.
Yeah, I could do
not
that
with
too.
Your mouth. He can't catch it with his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You could.
You cannot catch a fish with your hand in a river, Hank.
Yes,
there
I
is
could.
No chance.
Yes, I could.
Okay, well, we'll
yes,
have
I
to
could.
Find a way to prove that there's no chance you could do it.
Give me enough time in a fucking
you know,
Alaska.
Enough time?
Dude, in Alaska, when the fish are, like, coming downstream, there's a million of them. You
they go up. They go upstream.
They go upstream. The salmon.
Second
whatever.
Of all, you can't even get Larry in a net. In a tank. A goldfish.
Facts. Facts.
Yeah.
If I had a day on a river in Alaska, I could catch a fish with my hand.
Okay, what's your last one?
I'll go with, I guess, bear's ability to hibernate.
Would you really want to do that though? All football season.
The other one.
It doesn't matter what you can like specify the season. You could just hibernate throughout the spring, right?
The other one I was thinking
March
is
March Madness.
I'll go with that.
Okay.
My honorable mention was to cocoon up and then become a butterfly.
Oh. I don't know if that would be cool.
So Hank, you want the ability to start out as a shitty, gross thing and then become marginally more attractive.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than my current situation, which is just like a shitty, gross thing for life.
No, then
this is kind of like you growing a beard.
Yeah, I was going to say, you grow the beard. That's your cocoon.
Yeah, that's true. You already have that ability.
You look gorgeous. That's true.
All right. Any honorable mentions? I wrote down a few. How about an owl's night vision or an eagle's vision, too?
Mm-hmm.
Eagles can look, I think they can see up to 10 times farther than human beings, which is pretty sick.
Hawkeye, you can squint and spot balls.
You guys know about the scarlet jellyfish? It can like regrow its life. It goes down to the bottom and it becomes like a little baby jellyfish again.
It rebirths itself.
It rebirths itself. So it's basically they can just live forever.
I wouldn't want that.
I don't think I'd want that either, especially because if you did that, you'd have to become a baby again.
Yeah,
that would suck.
No thanks.
But it's a cool idea to throw out there. PFT meerkats have built-in sunglasses.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That would solve a lot of problems.
What
about the fish from Finding Nemo that has the like light at the end of it? So you could walk around always with a light in front of yourself.
That'd be pretty cool. Like a miner's light?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about lion facial hair?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
For me.
Wait. Lions don't really have facial hair. They've got manes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's not facial hair, though.
Yeah, I mean, they have it around their face.
I embrace debate. Is a lion's mane facial hair?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think that it is. I think it's like it's just a wreath of hair.
For my son, opossums have self immunization, so I wouldn't have to get him all those shots and stuff.
Yeah, you're not going to.
I'm not going
anyways.
To. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that'd be pretty sick to be able to just kill. Opossums are crazy.
Wait, is every possum autistic because they no. immunize?
I mean, they. I don't know. I'm not gonna answer that. And the only other one I wrote down was the rat's love for Subways, because like I hate going on the Subway.
So it'd be nice,
the rat's love.
It'd be nice to enjoy a Subway.
Enjoy it, right. Yeah. You enjoy being in the Subway station.
And a rat's love for pizza.
That's true.
That'd be nice, too.
Anything else, Hank? Any other ones?
Penguins. Like, penguins can swim.
Penguins can
swim. You
could have
just picked a fish.
You could have picked a shark.
I like animals that can be above water and then do... I like the multi...
Okay.
Multi-purpose.
Yeah, the Swiss Army.
The Humvees of the animal world.
Like, seals would be fun, but then like you got to worry about sharks all the time.
Yeah, the matchup nightmares.
You just chill and tan.
But you
all day
don't because you're a human.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
I haven't thought about that one.
A shark would have been a good answer. Just swim forever. If I had the ability to stay underwater like a shark, I would just become a Navy SEAL. And just fuck everyone's mind in Bud's training.
You would be a...
When they try to, like...
You'd keep be a super soldier.
Yeah, they try to keep me underwater to, like... And I'd just be like, yeah, I'm cool, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm here forever.
You would be America's secret weapon.
It'd be awesome. Any others? Okay. That was either our worst or best that we've ever done.
Electric eel would be pretty cool.
That would just shock every...
Reach out your hand to shake somebody's hand as a gag. You don't need the buzzer. You just, like, zap them.
That would be cool.
Gotcha.
I guess I wrote down dolphins, but I couldn't figure out what. Maybe, like, having people fall in love with you and fuck you.
Yeah, that's pretty... Or a whale.
A whale,
you get
too.
To fuck John McAfee, right?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
He's antivirus guy.
Hey,
you get half his money. It's like 12 gallons.
A whale's jizz. I wish that when I jizz, it just makes such a big mess. Nothing can clean it up.
I wish my ropes were just like spider silk.
I saw a whale shit in Hawaii. It was sick. It just came right up by the boat, and there was so much shit. Mm-hmm. It was awesome to watch.
I saw a horse jerk off one time.
That's pretty cool, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You told us that story. Yeah.
Okay. That All was right. whale jerk off talk.
Yeah. The worst or the best Mount Rushmore we've ever done. Tell us what we got wrong.
Being a spider... And having the ability to just shoot out, like, building material that's super strong, that would be pretty cool, too.
They should do a movie about that.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah. All right. We have two segments to wrap up, or a couple segments. Bad visual. PFT, you had the bad visual?
Yeah, the bad visual, there's a big cheating and chess scandal. So this guy, this grandmaster, got caught. By the way, that's a badass name. That's a super cool title for being really good at a game.
Mm-hmm.
Is at some point you earn the title grandmaster.
Mm-hmm.
He got caught cheating in a tournament because they took a picture of him in the bathroom looking at a phone. And so he admitted that he went to the bathroom and he was checking his phone. Here was his quote.
Should have just pulled up YouPorn.
Yeah, this guy. Like, well, that would have been a great explanation. It's just like, I wanted to crank one out.
Yeah.
It clears my mind. So this guy, let's see what his name is, Rousis. He says, I simply lost my mind yesterday. I confirmed the fact of using my phone during the game. Excuse me. By written statement, what could I say more? Yes, I was tired after the morning game, and all the Facebook activity of accusers also have a known impact. At least what I committed yesterday is a good lesson. Not for me. I played my last game of chess already.
Whoa.
So he's making himself a martyr.
So he retired.
I think this is his way of walking out.
He let the Facebook community get to him.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty badass.
If you get caught cheating by looking at your phone during a game of chess on a toilet, the last thing I would do is like check the Facebook comments about my article.
How do you cheat in chess?
So you can, I guess, program it into a computer.
Yeah. But didn't we have those chess people that beat the computer?
Maybe he was just on Tinder and his bio just said, if you're really good at chess, hit me up for a discussion.
Tell me what this rook should do in this position.
Yeah, he was just asking the community of hot chicks what he should do in the game. But it's funny because his rating has gone. There were a bunch of red flags about this guy to begin with that they should have caught. His rating was going up as he was getting older. And I think
PEDs.
Typically, it's just like, you
LeBron
know,
James.
Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
Well, allegedly, he was never convicted.
LeBron?
Both.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Both. Your brain starts to deteriorate before you get to the age of like 50 in chess, so you never see somebody continue to improve at that age.
Interesting.
Except for this guy, and they caught him using a phone in the toilet.
We should get, actually, you know what? Let's do that for Barstool Gold. We got to get a chess master on.
You want to have a chess master?
That would be sick.
Okay.
Just talk about like what's the groupie scene for chess masters?
Oh, I'm sure it's awesome. Well,
you slay, dude, when you go to like
Russia?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure like chess dads are like pageant moms to the point where like they will keep their son tied up to a chair for 14 hours a day and just like reward him with a taste of water if he gets out of like a gambit.
All right. So we'll find that out. We'll find that out for you guys later. All right. Our last segment of the day. We have a Sabermetrics. This one is actually for an awesome event on Friday night. The Angels for Tyler Skaggs. They wore his number 45. He passed away tragically a couple weeks ago. Pitcher for the Angels. They all wore number 45, and they won, but they won with a combined no-hitter. And then the numbers after, like, this is one of those situations where if you don't believe something else is going on, I don't, but I like, these things happen, and you're like, what the fuck? Like D. Gordon hitting that home run for Jose Fernandez. So they pitched a combined no-hitter, and the last time there was a combined no-hitter in the state of California was July 13th, 1991, which was the day that Tyler Skaggs was born. So his birthday, the no-hitter happened like hours before his birthday. Mike Trout, wearing number 45 for Tyler Skaggs, hit a home run in his first at-bat, 454 feet, which is weird. They scored 7 runs in the first inning and ended up with 13 runs. His birthday, 7-13. His mom threw out the first pitch, threw a strike. And there was one more. Oh, there was one that was Mike. This is the Tim Kirchen one where it's like getting a little too far down there, but I'll still throw it out there. Trout, in his last 45 games, he has reached base 45% of the time. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, yeah.
So it was one of those, like, bigger than, you know, some things are bigger than sports moments. Shout out Rico Bosco, where everything kind of came together, and it was a very cool moment.
It's like one of those Kennedy-Lincoln things that all adds up. It's
right.
Like Kennedy's secretary was named Lincoln. Lincoln's was named Kennedy.
Right, and you're just like, whoa, well, what's going on here?
Are the Angels, should we start putting just, like, a little tickler on them? Maybe Team of Destiny?
Angels in the outfield.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
The rally monkey. Bring back the rally monkey.
I mean, that was a big mistake when they got rid of the rally
monkey. Huge mistake. Where'd the rally monkey, why'd the rally monkey even start?
It got sick of Mike
Sosa's. Did a monkey run onto the field?
No, I think they
just. Like a squirrel?
I think it was like an extra in a Disney movie.
It was just a little kid.
And they're like, somebody said, hey, we got this free monkey if anybody wants it.
The Angels is a franchise. You know what? Very interesting.
I want to amend one of my Mount Rushmores. I want the luck of a rally monkey.
Okay. There you go. You can't, but it was a
valiant
effort.
Let it be known retroactively.
Yeah. That is illegal, as we know. Once you take your hand off the piece, it's over. Mm-hmm. Can't go on the phone.
Or you can go into the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we got a couple really good guests coming up for you this week. We have Dr. Phil on Wednesday. We have possibly Chris Broussard on Friday. So big week. We're going to get through this. We only have a couple more weeks till the Hall of Fame game. So you got this, guys. We'll see you Wednesday.
Love you guys. Especially you, Matt Schaub and Drew Lock. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm getting there. When you masturbate, think about my tongue. Oh, your clit and switching back and forth. Switching back and forth from my dick to my tongue.
Dick to my tongue.
Dick to my tongue.
Dick to my tongue.
Switching back and forth from my dick to my tongue. I'm getting there when you masturbate, think about my tongue. Oh, your clit and switching back and forth. Switching back and forth from my dick to my tongue.
Dick to my tongue.
Dick to my tongue.
Dick to my tongue.
Switching back and forth from my dick to my.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.